10% off your Rite Aid purchases every first Wednesday of the month with Rite Aid's new Wellness 65 Plus. 20% off Wednesdays help seniors save big on water guns and everything else. Wellness 65 Plus also lets you accumulate points for every prescription, even Medicare, that earn you up to 20% off your Rite Aid purchases fast. It's one more Rite Aid is helping you stay here. Now that you've actually gotten here. Here, soaking wet and slinking through your own rose bushes. Stop by your Rite Aid, enroll free, and save this Wednesday with Wellness 65 Plus. With us, personal, certainly a piece of the pie. Your Rite Aid store or Rite Aid.com for details.
It's clear that it's a very difficult point for the Iraqi government, which is trying to flush Al-Qaeda fighters out of the city of Fallujah, west of Baghdad. ABC News foreign correspondent Carrie Moran.
Fierce fighting raged on the outskirts of Fallujah, Iraqi troops blasting their way down the street. After a decade of U.S. led war, democracy in Iraq, much of Fallujah has now fallen to Al-Qaeda. The terror group's infamous black flag flies open up there now. Its masked soldiers are everywhere. RPG launchers.
Secretary John Kerry says the U.S. is willing to help, up to a point.
We're not contemplating putting troops on the ground. This is their fight.
And right now,
Toyota announcing a hydrogen-powered
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers announced the Dream Big Event. Get the best-selling 2013 F-150 Supercab for only $299 a month. Visit DriveOneOhio.com for details.
Yeah! AM on your radio dial, or on WFM 600 on your iHeart radio dial. Can't forget because today I have a cold, and I'm trying to get over this cold. It has been crazy. If you know, oh my God, let me just tell you, it's just been crazy. And I'm trying to work with this, and I just hope that you're patient with me. Hopefully Tracy will be in here shortly, and we'll be able to, not wear each other's voices down. Because, boy, this has been one of those times of real bad colds and flus going around. People have just been falling out left and right with this stuff. And so, hey, what can you say, though? Well, anyway, good morning. How you doing? We hope that things are going well for you. I hope that finds you well. I hope that you're not feeling sick out there or anything. It's morning time, and schools are closed, so there's a lot of people home. And we're going to talk about whatever is on your mind today. But I wanted to bring something to you. A couple of things that have happened. They just confirmed Janet Yellen as the new Fed chief, taking Ben Bernanke's place. And we're going to see how that's going to turn out. And we just want to see how this year is starting out. Well, we know what they're going to run on this year for the midterms. It's going to be income inequality. Income inequality. In income inequality, they mean that they think that you should have to pay somebody $12 to $15 an hour if you want them to work for you. There's a few things that don't work with that. First of all, somebody like a Walmart, Costco, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they can absorb something like that. They can absorb something like that. So now, you can't absorb that if you're a mom-and-pop store. So now, let's say they get this to happen, which I think they're going to push and push and push too. Now, I want you to understand who's doing this. These are your national Democrats. Now, I want you to call me at 330-781-9600 with your argument for raising minimum wage, and at 1-347-945-5229. I'll say it again, 1-347-945 excuse me, 5229. I want you to call me and tell me why you think we should raise the minimum wage and raise it to something as crazy as $12 an hour, and that means any job is going to be worth that. Well, here's your dynamic. Walmart, Costco, and some of the other biggies can't wait till they do that. Why can't they wait till they do that? Because that automatically wipes out most of their competition. There'll be none. All the small-time grocery stores, there'll be none. Your specialty stores, there won't be any. Why won't there be any? Because nobody's going to be able to pay that rate on the margins that they make. On the margins that they make, nobody's going to be able to pay it. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. But caller, you're in the air, 503-330-503.
Hi, Jeff. Happy New Year. I know
Happy New Year. She'll be here. Mm-hmm.
I know. I was going to – I called to issue Happy New Year. I hadn't gotten a chance to call in. But I also wanted to tell you there's a homemade recipe and remedy for your cold, because you don't take a flu shot, neither do I.
Oh, no. Tell me what it is, because I'll go get it. Believe me.
Oh, it is. It's very simple. You drink elderberry tea, and, just hot, drink hot elderberry tea, and try to drink it about every hour. And the other thing is, when you go to bed tonight, put some Vicks, V-I-C-X, on your bottoms of your feet after you get a hot shower. Put some socks on and go to bed. Also around your navel, Jeff, and you'll feel immensely better. Now, your cold's going to take its time because you're trying to fight it, but it's not. You're not going to feel that discomfort and all that yucky stuff that comes along with it.
I'm going to be right on that tonight because Vicks have been told to me before, and I poo-pooed it. I poo-pooed it, but I'm definitely going to try it tonight. Get this stuff out of me. Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about the minimum wage. I just have a kind of question about it because our local newspaper said it was $7.95 to go from $7.85 to $7.95, which is a 10-cent increase. This is in the county that I live in. But I also know that there are recipients who get assistance and they need an increase, I guess, to make ends meet, too. I'm not going to get into that topic. That's not what our subject about. But when you figure a working man or woman with that 10-cent an hour increase, if they get it, if it's already been done, I guess, and they work 8 hours, that's only 80 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
80 cents a day times, say, they work 6 days. That's $4.80 a week. Is your math still the same as mine?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that makes it less than $5 of an increase per week. Mm-hmm. But yet those who got their letter got an increase of, what was it, $11 or $21 for cost of living. And so even the working man, even with that increase, with 10 cents, which is what I'm using as the information that our local papers published this past week on this. They're still behind the eight ball. And I agree with you. You can't make it $15 when the job is only worth $7. You can't make it $15. You have to bring quality. You have to make it worth it to the marketplace. You have to do what you do, making it worth it to the marketplace. And it doesn't matter what you are. If you're a mechanic, you got to go to be so good to the marketplace that they'll pay you more. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're the entertainer, you got to. That's the way it should work. That's the way the system should work. You become more important to the marketplace, and that's your increase. And there's also, you know, a lot of things that go with that, because you and I both know, because we're self-employed. There's a lot of self-respect for yourself, knowing that you've accomplished a better quality of work or better pay for the work you do. I mean, there's an individual thing about it. So, you know, that was
absolutely
my 2 cents on it.
My last job when I worked sales, I loved the idea that I was able to sell more, and if I sold more, I got an extra $75 a month in a check. And then if I sold over that the next month, I got another $150 in a check.
You know, my first job, I made $43 a week, and I was 14, and there's some long days, but, you know, I was strong and young, and, you know, it taught me a lot. I was one of the best employees that this gentleman had hired, teenagers, and he gave me $3 for my good efforts. And, you know, that was like giving a kid today $100. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Just him saying that in front of them, saying, there's a little extra in your envelope because you're one of my best workers. There was, you know, the next time I came, when he called me, you know, I could have went with my girlfriends to a slumber party, but guess what I did? I went to work. Because
right.
Him just saying that made it important for me to put everything else on the back burner and do work first. Because everything else comes. If you work good and you work hard, everything comes. And it was, you know, from there I worked in a cider press mill, and of course now, you know, we have all the rules and regulations don't allow children to experience the things that I did, probably you too, when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a disservice to the young people, because they need, there's some young people out here that do want to work.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that want to work.
They
Yeah, they want to work, but you know, here's the thing. There's too many things going. There's too many dynamics here. A lot of them don't know how to work, which is why you don't start somebody out that doesn't know how to work at any $12 an hour. You know,
right?
Because you don't have time to train somebody to work and to learn the job that they're going to be working on. And while you lose business. That's why McDonald's, you know, because they are so large, had to put pictures on the keys so that people would know what people were ordering. And if they picture
also,
associated, go ahead.
And also put the coins on the register so they could give the correct change.
Right. Yeah. Well, then registers come up now with the exact amount on there. Yeah.
I understand.
So,
you know, and in my job at 14, I had to give back change to a customer. So when people say, "Oh, she's just telling the truth, Jeff," it's every bit of it. I'm telling you the truth. I provided a service. I cooked, provided the service, served the customer. No one got ptomaine or, you know, some kind of horrible disease while I worked there. And then I also made change. And I counted the money back to the customer. And I worked all week for $43.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, and that was a fair, you know, we're talking 40 years ago.
Right.
And,
right.
And but, you know, back then, rent was $90 a month.
Yeah.
And your electric bill was $14. You know, a pound of sugar was 59 cents. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you didn't have cars. You know, the young people today, they want to drive a car to their job. That didn't happen. We were dropped off. You know, we took a ride with an uncle or a neighbor or somebody that was going past that way. And we waited until there was a ride to catch to come back. Because
you know what?
We
we're gonna have to hold you at that because we're getting ready to go take a break. Once again, I'm asking for all people to give me a call, 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229, and give me some kind of believable argument for or against raising the minimum wage like it is. I started out. I'm going to recap the what the problems are with it when we come back. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is healthcare. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, Mornings with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 on your AM on your radio dial and WSOM 600 AM on your iHeartRadio dial and at Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends and at tracyandfriends.com. You can catch us all those places. And since we've moved here to the new time, 9 to 12, we've lost some of our callers that used to call from 12 to 3, but some of them will get back and appreciate what they have to tell us and et cetera, et cetera. But go ahead, sis. You were telling me a story about, you know, what you were working for, but I want to get further down the road on this minimum wage thing because they're going to press this income inequality, and they had these people with these foolish things yesterday saying that everybody should be guaranteed a job. Everybody should be have a living wage, and everybody, you know, in other words, there's nothing laid to chance anymore. Everything in your life will be taken care of in your life just for you. Vote for me and I'll set you free or take you in bondage. This is the most craziest thing I've ever heard. But, you know, but that's me. I'm a conservative, so a moderate conservative, but still a conservative. But here, I'd like to please somebody tell me what you think you can do and how do you think you're going to accomplish, you know, making everybody get a job, have a job, making everybody have an equal outcome where they don't lack anything. And they get a they propose a check for the government, period, to live on.
You know, Jeff, there will be no incentive to live life at all. My grandfather always would say, "You want to destroy someone, give them everything they want."
That's right. That's how rich people kill their kids off a lot of times. They get that, you know, and they give them everything. They don't understand, you know, when somebody out in the world tells them no, and then when they get that no, it's such a rejection to them. They commit suicide. They go into tailspins with drugs a lot of times. You know, there's no self-worth or self-determination.
No.
There's nothing.
Right.
Go ahead.
And that's what's going to happen. They're going to destroy all the mom-pop businesses, which is what you said. We've seen that happen just with Walmart's coming in.
Every small business will be wiped out the minute that they go to $10, $12 an hour. They'll be wiped out immediately because the market will not bear it.
Even the little restaurants that we probably enjoy right now.
Wiped out.
Well, will not be able to withstand such things.
Wiped out. Walmart
Absolutely.
Would love to have this happen. Costco would love to have this happen. Okay, so here they go. They have to keep themselves in power, so they have to promise you something instead of making policy that works.
That's correct, yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
They have to promise you something. We're going to promise you that we're going to raise the minimum wage and get you out of poverty. It's not going to get you out of poverty. All it's going to do is shift how much you're dealing with while you're in poverty because all the other prices are going up too. That's so basic.
They're making their profits no matter what. And you're going to pay the price for whatever they offer, because they're going to hold a monopoly on making it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
of course they are.
If you go in and you want to have a, you know, pasta dinner, and all the restaurants, and there's no little small restaurants anymore, you're going to pay, and I'm only going to use this as an example, you know, a larger franchise Italian restaurant is going to be able to charge whatever they want. There'll be no competition.
No.
And your money isn't going to, you know, your money's not going to be able to buy anything. You're not going to be able to use your dollar as a tool, which is what we've talked about many times on the show, to get you where you need to be. There'll be no tool.
No. It won't mean a thing. And the inflation is getting ready to hit because they announced it yesterday when they announced that, that the Senate had approved Yellen by a 56-26 margin. To run the Federal Reserve, that she has to unwind the stimulus that they've been paying for the past 3 years. Well,
does she have 4 years to do that, Jeff? Isn't it 4-year term?
Oh, I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Yeah, go ahead. Go four or six. I don't know. I don't know if she's the same as a senator because I don't know. It might be 6 years.
Wow.
I'll try to look it up as we're talking. You know, what are you going to do? How are you going to roll this back now? What's going to happen when they start rolling back? Yeah, the $85 billion a month. Oh, yeah, it's
worthless
now.
It's
worthless now. It's
going to be worse. Or could be. Could be. Yeah.
It can be and it will. Because that's where we're at. Yeah, that's where we're at, and So I'm watching this come to pass. I'm watching all the different the different things that are going on with these fights back and forth. You have people believe that it's global warming out here, and then when they know that the statistics say the Earth has not warmed in 12 to 15 years, now they call it climate change. Why they have to flip that? Yeah, they flip it right in the middle of the move, because then they don't look so foolish calling it global warming when there's no warming. And then you get the dumb butt people getting stuck in the ice down there in the Antarctic, in the dead of summer in the Antarctic now. The ice is too thick for them to get through, and they get stuck in it. They say, well, that proves there's climate change because, this must be a big piece of ice that broke off from the polar ice cap.
I heard that yesterday. I heard that yesterday on the news, and I thought the same thing. I thought, Jeff, I'm older than you, but we had winters like this all the time. Back in the 70s, a cold snap that lasted 3-4 weeks, not a couple days, 3-4 weeks. There are changes, and they come every so many years. All you have to do is read the Farmer's Almanac.
Right.
It's the way history
is. Yeah, your phone is buzzing out on me. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I need to change that phone, because I'm on a cell phone, so it might not be coming in very clear. But and we've got got some bad weather out here. So, I'll listen to you on the radio, Jeff. Just wanted to call, and I'm with you on this one. It's one more of those wonderful solutions that it's not going to be a solution very long.
Well, if the Republicans don't catch this one now and get on top of this, they will ride this through to the midterms with this income inequality, and they'll get the same people that they got to vote the last time to come out and get out there and vote, although not in the numbers that they were before, unless they tell them again that, somebody's trying to take your right to vote, which is foolishness. But, here, once again, in Ohio, you cannot be disenfranchised from voting, because all you have to do is call your Board of Elections, have them send your ballot to your house, and you don't have to show yourself a picture ID to vote. You turn that back around, send it back in, and you have voted. Okay?
Yeah.
So nobody's trying to disenfranchise you, but that's why I want somebody to call me. Call me and tell me about this minimum wage that you think is going to help people. And Ball State did a study on minimum wage raising. And they, the last three major times that the minimum wage has left, we lost out of society anywhere from 250,000 to 300,000 jobs. Each time. Why is that? Why does people not understand what happens here? Because the big guys can keep paying some of those wages. They'll still cut back too, but they still have to have a lot of people to get that done what they have to do. They raise prices on all of their products, which is only which is a whole lot of Walmart sells countless numbers of things.
Right.
So you add that 15-20 cents on all of those things, or as many of them as you can, and you've made up your hourly wage. But for the mom and pop store that is doing everything it can to hold on in the society, because their margins aren't anywhere near as big as Walmart, because they can't do the volume Walmart does. And then somebody's going to flippantly say, then they try to think about being in business. I heard that, and I tell you what. If it was legal to pick somebody up and throw them as far away as you could, that's what I would do, because
Yeah.
America is a place of equal opportunity. You have the opportunity to come here and make a living. It's not the land of equal outcomes where they promise you you're going to make a living. That's
Jeff,
not
did
it.
The, buzzing, did the buzzing stop on my cell phone? Maybe I should call back on another line.
Yeah, it did. It did. You must have been
it
walking
did.
Through a, or driving through a – walking or driving
well, not,
through a bad
I'm
cell area.
I'm not driving. I'm actually – but it's just so unbelievably windy, you know.
Mm.
It's just so bad where, you know, just really, really – but the sun's coming out. There's some hope
yep.
there.
Going to get up a whole 3 degrees today.
Yes. I think that just what you said there in your last statement about equal outcome,
mm-hmm.
we're taking away why people come to America and have came to America.
Right.
Because they're taking that away. And I think that's probably the saddest thing that I've had to watch over the last years of my life. You know, my father said something about it. My grandfather always warned about it. You know, watch out for
mm-hmm.
these things. And my grandmother, even in her last days, she said the same thing. You know, she could see these changes coming. And now I'm at that time in my life where I see it too. And it's different, but it's the same. It's
right.
taking away my freedoms. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, as I said on Tracy's show before. And if we don't have a third party, and I really... a person that believes in the Constitution and is going to really fight, and I haven't seen one yet. I mean, there's a lot of talk that there's still a lot of learning yet for me to try to figure out who I would vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to leave that presidential, I'm going to leave a space empty if I don't have if I don't have a party to vote for and a person that I think will hold up the Constitution and allow the people that live in this country to remain free.
Right.
You know, I have three grandsons, and, you know, I can see we're just a short time away from bringing back a draft or something very, very close to that. I don't know. I just have a lot of – I mean, there's a lot of hope out here because I think there's more
you,
of
you will not
the
get
people
a draft
like
up. You won't get a draft up under this type of president. Because they don't
not
want people
president.
In the military. Yeah. So you
You're
won't,
right.
you won't,
not just
you
president.
Won't see that. Because they loathe the military and they're once again, they're dismantling it piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've got Kerry talking about we're going to go and sit on the border of Israel to protect the Palestinians from the Israelis, which is really funny. And but we're gonna watch this stuff happen. We're about to take another break again. I thank you for giving me a call. And listening to my rant and rave here. Mornings
well,
with Tracy and Frank.
There was,
go
something yesterday where Alex said something yesterday about when he called in, he was telling, he was mentioning how they were going to, you know, if we got the 14th Amendment. So I didn't know if this was open mic today. And
we can talk about all of that, but they have to do it on the other side of the break because I'm going to pay some bills.
Okay.
Because I'm up against the clock today. Mornings with Tracy and friends. Jeff in the air chair right here talking to you. We want to thank you and welcome you to the show. Be right back after these messages.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, South Carolina. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And
talk
to you last year.
I know. It's been a whole year ago. What in the world what's the weather like there? Go ahead and tell me so I can imagine it being warmer than here.
Well, here's the thing. I woke up this morning and went outside to crank the wife's car, and it was 12 degrees.
How much?
12 degrees.
12, so that's very cold for you guys.
Yeah, that's real
cold.
Were you ready
for it?
Yeah, I just had to go back into my Korea mode.
Well, we've been, you know, in our Korea mode, as you say it. We've been here, you know, it was cold. And last night, with the wind chill, you know, we have an outside wood burner here. And we fill it up once a day. And everything's toasted. We heat three buildings, two houses and a garage. But last night it took it down. It's usually at 180 degrees all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it went down to 132 in that wood burn, you know, because it's circulating water the whole time. So, you know, it's just, and looking out across my driveway, it's just nothing but ice, just solid ice. And it looked like tundra here yesterday. It was just absolutely what I would imagine living in, I mean, Russia, you know, just that terribly, terribly cold, you know. But, you know, it'll pass. You know, we've had colder winters here longer time, and it's making the news, you know, news. But it's warm inside, and we're fortunate, you know, we have a lot of things to be thankful for, so. And your family, did you get to spend time with your family this Christmas?
Kind of, sort of. The wife went down to, she went down to Georgia to visit her mom and everything, mom and dad, and I was here doing Toys for Tots.
Well, I got to tell you, you inspired my 16-year-old. His American literature class had to write letters to collect toys. To local people that they knew, friends, family, and he decided to go to businesses. I don't remember how many now. I would be wrong if I guessed. But anyways, the toys that he collected were dropped off at your Toys for Tots. Now,
great.
I mean, that, you know, in one of those receptacles, we had one sitting at our local Huntington Bank. And he told his teacher, he said, take them to Toys for Tots when we get them. So they got put to good use.
Great, great.
How many kids did you help this year?
I think the final number is close to 15,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is,
now, do you have to personally pick these items up where those, the distribution boxes, do you pick those up personally and take them back to, like, a warehouse or something? Or, how does that work?
Well, what happens is I've got distribution boxes over five counties.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, each one of these distribution centers or stations, we check them once a week, or if they get full, the place where we leave them at, they call us and let us know that, hey, the box is full. Can you come pick up the toys?
Uh-huh.
And that's how we do it.
Do you have a toy that's always more of a favorite than anything all these years? Because you've been doing this for a long time, right?
Yeah.
What's the favorite toy?
The most popular is this year it was those Bratz dolls and the Monster High dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And anything with wheels.
And
basketball.
Yeah, we tend to buy a lot of boy stuff because that's what our world's wrapped around here. You know, we have a lot of boys. And they seem to, you know, but I did look at some girl things, you know, when I was out there, and I was surprised that the little girl dolls weren't pretty. They weren't charming or baby-like.
No, they are
totally
kind of,
their heads are large and their bodies are kind of alien looking.
Eerie.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the word. Yes.
that's they can kind of freak you out, and you know, they've got the Monster High, they've got the what was that other one we saw? Fairy Tale High and Ever After High, and of course you've got your Disney dolls.
Absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, Mornings with Tracy and Friends, 843, is that you, Not So Blind?
No, this is South CAC.
South CAC, Alaggy, what's going on, sir? You warming up down there?
No, man, it's cold.
How cold is it down there?
It's cold in a witch's breath, man. It's cold up in 12 degrees.
12 degrees. That's a heat wave.
12 degrees, man.
We were at 12 below last night. And my furnace went out in the middle of the night. How about that one?
No, I couldn't stand that. I had to put on some extra layers.
Oh, man. I have all electric heat, and in my heat pump furnace, I have these relays. And sometimes when they work overtime, they'll click and they won't click back in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to shut it off and have them and they'll reset themselves. Right. They'll click right out back in place, but it takes you about 20 minutes to a half hour to accomplish that. Well, at 12 below at 3 o'clock in the morning, my stuff went down 3-4 months. I was at 64 degrees, boy. Some people say, well, that's good. No, not for me. I got to have 70-something. But anyway, what's on your mind, sir?
Oh, man, it's just this weather, man. I mean, I'm like, I'm about to call my scientist buddies and tell them that, hey, man, your theories are wrong. You know, this, I don't think your science is too good on that global warming thing, man.
I got childhood friend on my Facebook fighting with somebody about how this is climate change and it's real and all of this other stuff. But it's no climate change. Well, it does. The Earth changes. That's why we've had ice ages and then we've gotten rid of them. You know,
well, here's the thing, Jim. I remember in 73, we had the worst snowstorm South Carolina's ever seen. We got 18 inches of snow. And it was just one of those cold, cold winters. I mean, nobody was talking climate change then. It's just cyclical. You know, and here a couple of years ago, we got 11 inches of snow. But that stayed on the ground for, 2 days? And then it was gone again. But the weather changes, you know. Hey, it changes. Weather changes like women. Oops, I didn't say that on the air.
No! You know, I got in trouble. I got in trouble last night because I got really fed up with this what's her name? Maddow. Rachel Maddow. I started calling her Rachel Mad Cow. And, you're so tasteless and you're no good. You're not... you know what? As nasty as she is, and as nasty as she talks about people that are Christians and about conservatives, if you don't recognize how filthy-mouthed and nasty and vile she is, you know what? I don't care. She's Rachel Mad Cow to me, okay? That's what she's going to be every time she comes out with something crazy, Rachel Mad Cow. That way she can't even talk to me about libel if she gets mad at me. Is your name Rachel Mad Cow? Okay, well, then don't worry about it then, because obviously, we're not talking about you. But anyway, yeah, Rachel Mad Cow, and they got all over me about how tasteless that was. Oh, that was so funny. So funny.
Well,
but hey,
that whole network over there that's kind of crazy. I mean, you got Melissa Perry or whatever her name is. And
Melissa Perry Harris.
They get to say whatever they want, and nobody says anything. But, you know, you say one thing about being a Christian, and you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Say one thing about against their lifestyle that you don't agree. You're not even allowed to disagree with their lifestyle. It's not even about calling it wrong. I mean, you committed the unpardonable sin, and they're going to charge you with a hate crime, you know, for that one.
Well, I mean, but they make fun of other folks now. I mean, you know, the survivalists and the folks like that, they call those, they're off the deep end, they're crazy, but they're just fine. The way they think is absolutely 100% great.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how this turns out. Because I'll tell you what, wait a minute. I'm sitting in here and they done opened the blinds and the sun is starting to come out and it's blinding me. I can't even see my screens. I have to make a quick adjustment here. There we go. And so, you know, here it is though. We're sitting up here. You have these pundits on MSNBC lying about you know, what people have said and what they meant. And so anyway, Rachel Maddow the other day, she had this thing where the Koch brothers, she had interviewed the Koch brothers and said that they had put money into an organization, and they said that they didn't. And their lawyers were telling them, no, we want you to retract that because we don't support that. And so for some reason, some derivative of a Koch brothers something she thinks or has reported has been put into, you know, this organization some money. So she gets on there, you know what, and I'm not going to take back my statement in this. And so this guy gets on my page. Rachel Maddow ripped the Koch brothers a new one. And I'm listening to this craziness, right, because it's insanity, because people don't think. The Koch brothers are billionaires. If they want to, they could buy Rachel Maddow's job and throw her away. Understand that, people. Now, they play the game like everybody else because it's political theater, and they play along with certain things, and they ain't going to play along with some others. They're not going to play along with certain others. So my thing is, what do you think Rachel Maddow can do to a Koch brother? That if there were only one person, they'd be the richest person showing on earth. that's what's so funny to me. It's just hilarious. And they really, they're emotional about this. If you go to my Facebook, I know you go through there sometimes when you used to anyway. But, you know, it is crazy. What do you think,
Jeff,
you're going to do? Yeah,
Jeff,
go ahead.
You know what they would do. You know what she would do. Rachel, if she got an invitation to go to one of their, 500-plate dinners, oh, she'd be shining up her shoes and putting on her best, and she'd be
there. Wait a minute. Rachel Maddow always attacks the oil companies, right?
Right.
Guess who's one of her sponsors this time around?
Probably Standard Oil or BP.
It's Standard
or
BP. It's one of
right.
the two, one of the two biggies.
Right.
And I don't know how MSNBC got it to happen, but I guess they figure they'll get all the left-wing lake loons on their side, and maybe they won't protest them so much all the time.
But you didn't hear George Soros, all his contributions at the last election, who he contributed most of his money to.
Of course not.
Or his 300 nonprofit organizations that made contributions to a certain campaign. She didn't talk about any of that. And all you have to do is just bring that up on the computer screen. Just Google it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, they're not going
to
say anything about that. And by the way, for my Christie supporters, George Soros poured a ton of money in Chris Christie, which makes me not want to touch him with a 29.5-foot pole as the Grinch, you know, a Christmas Grinch. Oh, yeah, you got to check that one.
They say he's just McCain without the service record.
That's right. I like him. Michael Savage. Michael Savage
is
crazy.
Yeah, Michael Savage said it. But you know what?
Michael
I used to listen to him at night, and I would sit with a piece of paper and write down some of the things he'd bring up, and I'd go and research it. You know, Jeff, there was very few things a man said, even though it was sarcasm
lot of it. He's accurate.
He was truthful.
Politically.
He was truthful.
Very much. The only thing that I didn't like about him one time, he went on this rant. Because of something that Al Sharpton had said, and he was upset, and he called out and said, what has the African race or the black race contributed to mankind? Boy, I tell you what, I was, excuse my mouth, I called
did
in.
You write
I could
letter?
Not get through. I didn't write a letter because I wrote an email. But, you know, you don't know whether those things ever get through because, you know, and he never said it again because, you know, I listened to Savage because I think he's brilliant. I think he's a brilliant man. I think that
he's not going to let go of this Benghazi thing. He's not going to let go.
And those
Marines that were killed in that helicopter, he's not going to let go of that. He is like a dog on a bone. He is not going to let go of that.
Yeah, it is no coincidence. It is no coincidence that SEAL Team 6 went down on a helicopter that they shouldn't have all been on in the first place.
And it was an old one to boot.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. You never fly the whole team on one helicopter.
Exactly.
Never. And that was called upon. And so people don't realize how insidious this government is. That's why you have this situation with Benghazi, and they bring up another thing after another, you know, to get you off of the stuff that really matters. Income inequality. They're gonna fight this wreck. They're gonna fight this down. They're gonna ignore every statistic that tells you that when you try to do that, you're gonna have problems. And we might get interrupted because we're gonna go to the top of the hour news. So I see you out there not so blind, Mike. And you guys, if you can hold on till after my morning break here or my top of the hour news, I'll gladly talk to you later this Tuesday afternoon. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. Be right back.
Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News Talk 6.
Good morning.
Hello, Mike. Happy New Year to you, too.
Happy New Year.
I listened to you guys yesterday or the day before, and then I didn't get a chance to call in, but this is a nice cold morning to call in.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to change that promo. The promo's still saying Tracy's on from noon to 3. They
it does.
The promo.
Yeah, I noticed that this morning.
Yeah.
I listened yesterday. I think there was a – no, you were on yesterday. You called in yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of the days, I think it was last week, it was like a – it was a recording because it was it had the oil drillers on. The oil drilling guys were on.
Yeah.
Your voice was on there. But it was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
It had been something.
Yeah.
So what's new in your world?
14 degrees here in South Carolina today. Brr.
You don't like it, huh?
I used to live in the Northeast. I used to work outside in weather colder than this. It's just that I'm not prepared for it today, that's all. You know.
Hey, there was some good news in our paper today. I don't know if it got to South Carolina, you know, into your area. But in our local newspaper, there was a young man, he was only 20 years old, a photographer who was in Washington, D.C., because our president is on vacation, she had to find something else to photograph for the paper.
I had seen that, and he got reunited with his family.
And he got reunited, and he was found in the homeless area. So that was a nice story. You know, so every now and again, the news really is worth their
weight in gold. But here's what concerned me about that story.
Uh-huh.
How did he get separated from his family? Why did he leave? What's changed?
It was 4 days. He was 4 days.
Oh, 4 days. Okay.
4 days he was away from his family. I wondered that, too. And I'm also wondering if he didn't have a condition, say, of, like, autism or something.
Exactly. Or PTSD or...
Because his mother said, his mother said in the article, she's more aware of the health and keeping an eye on him.
Returned to his father, and they said his father rather than his family. I'm going, is this a broken home? Did he run away? Is there a condition that's going undiagnosed,
Well, his brother was also in the story.
Uh-huh.
They actually went to Washington, D.C., to the hospital he was in. That's what our article, kind of led me to believe that they traveled to get him, But, this is the time of year where we always hear the stories of the children that have autism.
Yeah.
Whatever. And in Ohio, there's been 35 deaths due to this cold snap.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
this is not weather to fool around in. I was outside last night working on securing some places because some of the foundations around here, we have access hatches, and we get sloppy with that being out in the country here. Some of my animals.
And the water freezes.
Yeah, and some of my animals like to go under the foundations and stuff, so they'll kick out the hatches, and then they've got these nice, great places to go where it's cool in the summer, you know. But I had to get those because I was one. I'm going, oh, I suppose they've kicked out the hatch where, you know, 15 feet straight in is the water line coming up out of the ground, and the wind was blowing right into the hatch. So I said, no, we're going to have frozen pipes if I don't take care of it. So last night I had to work on that and then finish the day doing other stuff. But
Worst. That's the worst thing when those pipes freeze in the cold weather and you have to thaw those out. That is the worst. I remember one winter I first year I built my house. It had an open underneath. And in Ohio that's not good in the wintertime, I decided I was gonna winterize it in the dead of winter. And you know that foam, this is a funny story, this is a visual funny story. You know the foam insulation, you squirt it and it expands.
Yep.
Crazy.
You're breaking up again. Are you moving from your location or?
No, I'm actually just standing. It's the wind, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it's
yeah,
just
because
the wind.
I mean, you break up.
Is it okay
go,
now?
Yeah, now you're okay. Now you're audible.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I heated up the cans and I went to my hardware store, heated up the cans, and went outside, went up underneath my house, and I just started blowing that stuff, you know, and it expanded. I had a hoodie on, you know, to cover my hair.
Yeah.
And my hoodie got caught in the foam stuff. I was stuck.
Oh,
I mean, I was stuck under my house. I'm telling you, it was hilarious. My dad laughed for days. I did get some in my hair, and I literally had to cut the hair.
Oh, yeah,
it
Yeah, we used to work with that stuff, and I literally would take a knife and scrape it off my fingers. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't funny at the time, but I thought I was a genius, you know, coming up with that mastermind project, and then I got hooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just busy working underneath there, you know, and, oh, it was quite a scene. And I didn't even realize it was in my hoodie and near my hair until I come walking over here to my father's, and my dad says, what you got in your hair? I'm like, oh, my goodness, there it was, just foamed and totally hooked into my hair.
We
tried every.
The stuff is really sticky. It's like playing with marshmallow fluff, you know?
Oh, yeah, but it expands, you know, 3-4 times the size. It was something, and I haven't done it since. I mean, I'm very careful now, you know. That's why they give you that little spray direct nozzle thing on there to use, and I figured that out. You got to use that. You got to use that thing. So
yeah, you have to.
Oh, it's a lesson learned.
Yeah, we used to work with that quite a bit. I had a company that we used to actually didn't work with the cans. We actually had 55-gallon drums of the isocyanurate and the foam itself, and we used to mix them on a job. We had special pumping equipment. We used to do roofing with it. We used to do insulation. We used to do all kinds of work with it. But it was funny because when you're spraying it, even outdoors, the slightest breeze blows it everywhere. And because you're spraying right in front of you where you're walking when you're doing a roof, the overspray would end up on your shoes, on your work boots. And a couple of times a day, you'd end up with these 12-inch tall unicorn horns at the end of your shoe sticking straight up, and you had to go and get someone to get a little axe and knock them off your toes, because otherwise you couldn't go down the ladder. You couldn't get off the roof. The roof. You couldn't walk with them on your feet, and we used to have to knock them off.
I mean, there's just all kinds of, you know, silliness like that you learn along the way.
Yeah, we used to take
lots
big plastic
of times
bags and inflate them with air and spray it on it and do sculpting for children's we used to love doing this for kids. Make big animals for them.
Make
an elephant or a dinosaur or whatever out of the foam. We had some guys that were really, really talented with spraying it, and we'd make little houses for the playhouses and everything else for kids in the parks and stuff. Yeah, we used to do that as a kind of like, you know, a little give back to the community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jeff wanted to talk about the minimum wage thing.
Yeah.
He opened up the conversation about that today.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that we're not going to be able to stop.
No, and then you know, yesterday somebody had made the comment. I believe it was.
Income inequality. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, man, we're here with the Marlin Bond. He's telling us don't worry. We're going to not worry about it because, you know, no Obama going to make it all right for us, you know. Yeah, we're going to do our thing. We're going to do our thing out here. And we're going to make it happen with three little birdies. Yeah, man, what you dealing with? I got my callers on the line, and they're going to talk to me today. Not so blind, Mike. What you got to say? Wagwan, man. What wagwan?
Thank you for the warm thought. It would I don't know if Jamaica is going to be any warmer than South Carolina today, though. It's 40 degrees down here, and this is unheard of in this state. So.
That's Bahamian, man. Bahamian.
Bahamian, yeah, from the Bahamas. Well,
don't call a Jamaican a Bahamian or vice versa. They will.
Well, I don't know the difference.
They know the difference, though, and they will turn on you and get hot.
Yeah, I spent more time down in our Barbados is where I used to like to go a lot in the winter and stuff. I just enjoyed the culture down there. Really interesting, too. Got to meet the prime minister of the country one time and through a business connection down there, and I was sitting in his office just, hi, how are you? I just went along for the ride. And he asked me if I would, since I was an outsider in the neutral party, would I be a witness for him the next day at a hanging?
Oh, wow.
No, I don't want that karma. I got enough to pay for now.
Well, at least you can say, I didn't see a thing.
I don't know what kind of a witness I could be, you know?
Yeah.
And I sure the heck wasn't going to stand under the trap door to see if he really fell. So.
There you
but
go.
But anyway, this minimum wage thing, income equality and all that. We got on some of this yesterday, but if they raise the minimum wage, I was thinking about this after our conversation yesterday. If they raise the minimum wage, I know in my own heart, though I love people dearly, when I'm running my company, I have to protect the goose that lays the golden eggs for all the other people who are already employed by me. And I'm going to be looking for the person with a bachelor's degree. I'm going to want to buy as much intellectual capacity is possible for the money then, and I'm just not going to be open to giving a newbie a job where I've got to eat all their mistakes, teach them, pay them while they're learning more than normal, and I'm just not going to be open to so if I'm going to pay more, I'm going to want more.
Ball State University, everybody can look that up. They did a study on minimum wage and the effects of it, and they'll tell you, whenever they raise that minimum wage, we lose hundreds of thousands of jobs out of the economy. Why? Because you lose a lot of small businesses that don't have the margins to pay that.
Yeah.
And no, it is not on me to be in business to give you a freaking job. It is on you.
It's not my job to make up for the inequity in the school systems and your parents not raising you properly and making school a priority in your life. I'm going to be looking for people who can read, write, have excellent communication skills. Doesn't matter what the job is. I'm going to want people with communication skills, both verbally and in writing, and people who can read and understand instructions and have some comprehension, and I'm going to know, and it doesn't matter what position, I'm going to want the biggest bang for my buck because with that higher number added to the overhead called their increase in pay at the minimum wage level even, what's going to end up happening is I got to look at the bottom line. I need more productivity from day one. I need somebody who doesn't crawl in the door. I need somebody who's almost ready to run a sprint the minute they walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
going
to limit the pool. And no, I'm not going to be open to hiring 16-year-old kids who mommy's going to hand them to me, and then I'm going to deal with the rest of their upbringing and all the inequities and all their shortcomings in their general education. I'm going to be looking for the people who can't find a job but have a 4-year degree and have a student loan of $50,000 to pay off, because I'm going to know I'm going to get somebody a little bit more serious maybe who would value the job more than somebody who can just go home and be supported by mommy and daddy and just live in their basement for the rest of their life.
Here it is. We're looking for a paper boy to deliver papers around the neighborhood. Must have a PhD in sociology.
A valid driver's license, no points against his license, can pass a drug test, can pass an IQ test, can pass a voter's test, you know? Registered ID, must prove he's a legal citizen of the United States. I mean, pretty soon it's going to get that tough. Why? Because, the old golden rule, Jeff, he who owns the gold makes the rules.
Well, that's right.
Employer, I'm going to set the standard then of what my money has to buy, because I have to protect everybody else who already works for me. I can't let some lame person come in and drag down the bottom line.
Why not, Mike?
Because I'm not a communist.
It's my right not to have a job, and it's your right to pay me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in my reality that I live in, coming from a construction background, you get paid for productivity. You get paid for building something. You don't get paid for sharpening your tools. You don't get paid for repairing your extension cord that you just cut in half. You get paid for something standing at 5 o'clock. There's got to be something that you've done. The customer's got to be better off for what you have done. The fact that you were there, there has to be an improvement to somebody, a benefit. And we just don't live in that reality of like the government does. The government, when they can't get all the work done, they hired more people, only making the rest of them even more inefficient. Because there's no oversight, because it's not their money they're spending in the government.
The most unproductive workers are government workers.
Yeah. The most unproductive worker in our society is government workers, and if some of them have the nerve to call us on this line and want to debate me on the point, have at it.
Well, that's what I've been calling for, because I want somebody to come to call me and tell me why it's justifiable to do this. 330-205, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeffrey, it's Sticks. How you doing?
Sticks, what's up? Good morning.
Oh, we're doing all right. It was only 11 below this morning when I got up, so.
Yep, we went 12.
You know, I've been listening to this.
Did you say
11
below?
Yeah.
We had 11 and 12 below zero in our area last night. Six is about 15 miles from me, I guess, maybe 20. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the two you go wrong. If you were closer, you could stay warm.
Yeah, and you got wood burners and stuff like that, Doug.
But anyways, I've been listening to this discussion about the minimum wage, and there's something that a lot of people don't understand. The minimum wage was designed by the early 20th century progressives in order to make a certain segment of society unemployable.
Thank you.
It was designed to drive the wage up to where people wouldn't hire what they considered to be undesirables.
Undesirables.
The Irish, the Italians.
Yeah.
Those people.
Uneducated industrial invalids is how
right.
they were referred to.
Right.
You guys got a good grasp of history. That's wonderful.
You're talking about white, black people.
Yeah.
Or Italian or Irish,
yeah.
Whoever was on the bottom at that time.
Right.
Italian was, everybody said that they're just, lighter-skinned black people anyway.
Well, that's what Margaret Sanger and those people, they all looked at all of the darker-skinned Europeans the exact same way as they looked at black people.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. I mean, this evil goes back 100 years.
Or better.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. Now, here it is. The progressives did this. And why don't people see that it's happening the same way? Because they raise the minimum wage, black unemployment goes up, black youth unemployment goes sky high.
Yep.
Okay? But guess who's still coming on strong in the employment market? two sets of people, your Hispanics and your Asians. So what does that tell you about why they're doing this?
Well, it amazes me people can't understand and can't look at the simple case study. Right now, Massachusetts has the highest minimum wage in the country, and they also mm-hmm. have the highest teenage unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't people make the connection?
Because nobody's telling them that statistic. They're not telling to. Nobody knows it. When you hear that, a pastor friend of mine got really, really upset with me about something, and he was talking about the health care law. And so, of course, I ended the conversation, and I said, guess what? 23 million will still not be served by 2016. He said, where did you get that? And I told him, I read it. It was a statistic. Just because you read it doesn't make any. I mean, he didn't cuss me out, but he was close to it. And so then I put an apology in, and I said, well, I have to apologize to you. Because I said 23 million weren't going to be serviced by 2016. I was wrong. It's going to be 30 million still not serviced by 2016.
Which, 30 isn't that the number million. We had before we did this mess?
Yes. No, 62 million is what you had.
I thought they were claiming it was 33 million.
No, well, they said that, but they were wrong in what they were doing. 62 million people don't have health care or adequate health care coverage in America. And they could have taken care of 62 million people a hell of a lot cheaper than this mess that they just did, which should tell you they're not looking to help the people. They're looking to create a slave ship for the people. You're now owned by your government. There's no way to get away from them unless you change that law or shut it down. They own you.
Well, they've owned us since they passed the income tax, but now they really own you.
But I mean, no, they absolutely have carte blanche legality over you to do anything to you now that they want to.
Oh yeah.
See,
they're going to decide who lives and dies. And you can't sue the federal government.
No, you can't do. You're not going to be allowed to sue. So it's going to come down. It's going to come down to pretty soon fighting in the streets. And believe you me, there's a lot of people out there that don't want fighting in the streets, but the progressives don't mind it. The progressives do not mind it.
Well, no, that gives them the excuse to take out
to wipe
power.
People out. Right. You take over. You wipe some people out here and there. And you don't have any problem. But what's going to happen when these people, if money fails and people to live off their land can still live off their land?
But we've got Supreme Court precedents now to stop you from doing that, because they'll say that growing a garden is against interstate commerce. They'll use the Wilburn versus Wickard versus Filburn decision that said that growing wheat for your own use screwed up interstate commerce. You mark my words, there's going to be legislation or something that says you can't eat anything that's not a U.S.
Everyone faces challenges.
Food.
Right. Go ahead. We're still going?
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see it coming. Because the biggest fear that they have is a financially and a financially independent group of people that don't need them. That's their biggest fear.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we're watching this thing come out, and I know people that are liberal, they listen to us, and many of them think we're just crazy. And then there's some people that are liberals. Not because of anything else, but indoctrination. They've been indoctrinated to believe that no matter what, the left has been right. And they lie and tell you stuff like the left was the ones that got you out of slavery and they voted in civil rights and all this other stuff. Couldn't be further from the truth. And, you know, it couldn't be anywhere further from the truth. That's a lie.
What you can't make them understand is, if you want to look at this as a totally take the humanity out of it all, racism is bad for business.
Yeah.
If you're the best, whatever it is, I don't care what color your skin is, I'm going to hire you because I need your skills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to like you to hire you.
Exactly.
And so for them to say that those who lean towards business are more racist than those who don't lean towards business is baloney, because people that lean towards business don't care.
Exactly. Their need to profit from your skill or your abilities outweighs their prejudice or their hate for you. That's how all the immigrants ended up.
At times only. Okay,
yeah, well.
That's not in stone. I wish it were in stone, because I would have never had a problem. Because you know, being in business, uh-huh. and the business that I did, I had more white clientele than I had black clientele.
Uh-huh.
However, I still didn't have the support of the black community at all, but I still had people that would look at my quote and they go to my competitor. In fact, I even had a white partner at one time, and we would tag team with quotes, and we went and we quoted a couple projects together where, you know, they didn't know that I worked with him, vice versa, and they would leave my quote and go to his quote. And we both get paid anyway.
There you go.
So, you got to be.
That person wasn't interested in making money.
Right.
They wanted the product. But the thing is we wanted the we had a good product. The product was good. Just because it came from a white man doesn't mean it was better. And black people thought it just as much as white people thought it. That's the terrible thing about it. You had black people. Well, I'm gonna go to the white man and I'm gonna get this done because you know I don't trust black people.
Yeah, you're always gonna have some of that kind of thinking.
Always gonna have some of that, and it didn't deter me. You know what
but
I'm saying?
The people that have to get something done in their life and fund a major project or get something done, they will hire qualified people and they won't care. They'll overlook the clothes they wear, the food they eat, the language they speak. If they can do the job.
Right.
I'm up against the deadline with penalties and stuff. I'm going to hire him even though I don't like him. I won't associate with him. And when the job is done, he's probably fired. But I need his skill as a stonemason. I need his skill as a bricklayer. I need his skill as an iron worker. You know, and that's it. Look at how many Native Americans are employed in high iron. Both the guys who built all the skyscrapers in New England in those early days of steel were Native Americans. Nobody was hiring Native Americans in those days, but they were skywalkers. These guys,
they weren't afraid to hike.
They would work, and they didn't give anybody any lip, and they were glad to have a job. And when one of them fell off, said, "Don't worry, the chief told me there's three more back at the reservation that are willing to work tomorrow morning." Seriously,
that ain't funny. That's not, no.
I'll tell you something, Jeff.
It's just the way you said it.
Yeah, when I started out, you know, in construction, being blind, I faced some of the challenges you faced, and I had to put a able-bodied, quote-unquote, face on my business for a while, you know, somebody who wasn't blind, even though I was the one with all the knowledge and skill. One of our first companies was a painting company, and we took on all the higher work found that nobody wanted. And we used a lot of Native Americans, and they were absolutely awesome. These guys, they worked as a team. And one of them, I remember one time we had to do something, and it was like a spot somebody missed up at four stories on a building. He said, "Oh, man, we got to go get a long ladder or get a drop going." And he said, "Nah, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." One of them stuck a 2x4 out the window. Two of them held it, and he walked out on the end of it and painted four stories. I go, "I'm brave, but I'm not that brave."
I know that's right. Yeah,
it was awesome.
Not I fed the cat.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. But, you know, there were some people who – we're looking at the bottom line, like Stick says, and blind or not, they gave me the job. And if I could do the job, they were willing to chance it, you know. And
sure.
Because of price, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, it's out there. But the bottom line is, you know, God can't steer a parked car. My advice to anybody out there whose life is stuck right now, get rolling. Get in motion, and the direction will become obvious.
Here, I'm going to tell you, I'll read this quote, see if you guys agree with me on this. At the core of liberalism is a spoiled child. Miserable as all spoiled children are, unsatisfied, demanding, ill-disciplined, a despotic, and useless. Liberalism is a philosophy of sniveling brats. That's heavy. What do you think? Nobody has an opinion on it?
I'm just trying to digest what you just said.
Because I hate labeling a whole group of anybody.
You know, I've met
he's saying the mindset behind that is a philosophy that comes from people that have been spoiled and given things all their life and this, that, and the other. And then when they find out that they can't get that, they rail against the rest of society they rail against the rest of society to make society provide those things for them since their benefactors are not doing it for them anymore.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So that's the thing. But I wanted to bring your attention to something that Al Sharpton did the other day. Al Sharpton, Rachel Maddow. That's my new names for these people. I know I'm going to be hit with them. You're distasteful. You're no good.
You are no good,
Jeff. You're good. But you know what? They treat me vilely. And now if all I do is give them a little nickname, I think that I'm doing much better than them. So here's Al Sharpton with his rant on global warming. Or climate change, whatever you want to call it. That's what it's going to be, because we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Everybody else hold on the line. If everybody got in, we're going to let you, you know, whatever you want to call it. Everybody's open, even you, 614, if you want to holler at somebody, you got it. And we're going to listen to Al Sharpton right now.
Welcome back to the first Politics Nation Science Lab of the new year. In the lab tonight, a right-wing meltdown over global warming, a winter storm is battering much of the country, and climate change scientists were stuck in ice, which means the folks over at Fox have been trotting out a few theories of their own. Check it out.
So it looks to me like we're looking at global cooling. Forget this, global warming.
And get this, a global warming Scientologist had to be removed from his frozen vehicle after days of being trapped. Poetic justice much?
Because for the past 16 years, there has been no warming to speak of.
They called it unusually thick ice. Well, I think it's because they're unusually thick people who have not been paying attention to the actual science on global warming for the past 18 years and still think that we're all about to roast like a chestnut on open fire.
These right-wingers are boiling over with denial. Just because it snows in winter doesn't mean the planet isn't getting warmer. Remember, a UN panel said there's a 90% probability that humans are the primary cause of global warming. And over 97% of climate researchers surveyed in the United States Academy of Science agreed. It sure doesn't take much for the folks at Fox to hit their melting point. The results of tonight's experiments are in. And we've deduced the right wing could use a new talking point. This has been a special edition of the Politics Nation Science Lab.
Now, that's Al Sharpton. With a white coat on, with stuff boiling in front of him, acting as if he actually knows anything about the science of climatology. This is crazy, once again, and he gets away with sound bites coming from the right that aren't necessarily what the people said. O'Reilly busted him and put on certain things of what they were saying. So we're going to see what this says. He's saying that 97% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends are happening, and retreating glaciers and all this other stuff. But I'll say it like this. Who are these people, and what are they saying is actually happening? I'd like to say, because I think it's a lie that 97% of these people believe that is that there's global warming, because I hear too many retractors.
Yeah. Again, this is lying with the truth. Most scientists,
right.
Most scientists believe the planet is warming up. Where the difference comes in, most scientists of that group recognize there has been a climate change, but it's cyclical, number one. And number two, it has nothing to do, for the most part, with humans are doing on this planet, because Mars is also warming up, Venus is also warming up, and so is even Jupiter warming up. It's solar activity, and it's part of the 11-year or 21-year cycle. And that's, so to say, most global climate scientists say the planet's warming up, yes, but that doesn't make their argument for the cause, that it's human.
Oh, I agree.
This is why we got to have carbon taxes, and we need income distribution, and we need all core education, and we need all this other indoctrination and fluffication and everything else they do. It's inductive. See, this is not deductive reasoning on the part of the left. It is inductive. It is, and they constantly make their points with inductive reasoning rather than deductive reasoning. And they'll find you along the way. You'll follow them and go, so we're doing this, okay, and we're doing that, okay, and then because of that we have to do this. Whoa, 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 how did you make that great leap of faith? You went from A to B to C to Q? What about all the other letters in the middle?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where they break down in their argument all the time. Al Sharpton lecturing on science is about as ridiculous. I guess NBC Next is going to hire Madeline Murray O'Hare as their theology expert.
If they can find her.
Well, yeah, well, we're going to... No, they're going to get, what's her name there, the channeler, and bring her back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is that, the Jersey psychic or whatever her name is?
Yeah.
Well, no, you know we lost Sylvia Brown.
Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah,
right.
She died last month.
I didn't know
so,
that.
Yeah, she just passed away. And Sylvia Brown was scary to me. And you
was
know,
she?
And
how so?
Yeah, in a sense, this is how, because I know that, you know, I'm very familiar with the prophetic and prophecy and things like that. My whole family is that way. My family has dreams. My family can get you something and tell you something's going to happen. I mean, my entire immediate family, and even to my brother's wife, who was very accurate, who called up the Just when the ladies got found up in Cleveland in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at the church we were attending a few months ago, there was a prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting, she had a vision. She says, I see three girls, and they're being tied up. She said, I see, and she described them, their nationalities, everything. And she said that one of them is chained and begging to get out.
Uh-huh.
And the other ones are just there. They're locked up in a house. And so everybody was trying to say it was figurative, but she said, no, this is actual. Uh-huh. And they said, we got to go into intercessory prayer. And sure enough, they went into prayer. And 1 week later, that's when those girls were found in that house. Uh-huh. Now, that's not saying that she was the only one, because there's a lot of prophets and prophetesses around.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I know plenty of them across the world because of my ministry ties to people across the globe. But the thing is, Sylvia Brown seemed to do it from a different spirit, and she was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And so, but what I know about the gifting is this.
Uh-huh.
All giftings that come from God, they come without repentance. God gave you a gift. If you don't use it for the right thing, he holds you responsible for it in the judgment. So you may go your whole life misusing your gift, and then, you know, hey, you get in trouble for it, you know, later.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's why I said she kind of spooked me a little bit.
Yeah. My background is in science, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't proclaim to know everything about everything I can't prove. But I do have
sure.
a friend who is like your friend. And he is absolutely, positively spooky. He's been featured on Discovery Channel and stuff, and he's internationally famous. And psychics go to him to get their act together. I won't talk to him for 8 months. He'll call me. This happened just not too long ago. I'm filling out an application for something, a new direction on something I'm thinking of doing. It's a decision I made one night, and the next morning I got my people going, pull down the stuff from the website. He calls me up an hour into that day after not talking to me for 8 months. He lives 1,000 miles away from me and says, you know what I think you should do? He goes, last night I had a dream about you. Here's what I think you should be doing. And it's exactly what I was doing at that moment. There's no way he should have known.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the way he knows, but I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, and the people in my office don't communicate with him directly. So it isn't like somebody told them, hey, Mike gave us a new direction today for the corporation. I mean, I'm filling out the darn paperwork, and he calls me and says, I think you should do this for your business.
Yeah.
Is that spooky?
Yeah, it can be, because like I said, my pastor saw the Columbine
mm-hmm.
funeral and called the father, the one young girl that wouldn't, say that she'd not believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening is that he saw this vision of a picture of the girl crying, but she saw these tears falling out her eyes, but he couldn't see where the tears were falling. Well, 3 weeks later, when he got the personal effects from that, from her daughter, you know, being killed and an investigation was over, he was going through her diary and she had drawn a picture of herself crying. And her tears were black, and the number of kids that got killed were all falling down on the Columbine flower that she drew down at the bottom of the picture.
Wow.
Well, guess what? That's real. Okay, and the man gives this as testimony all over the world. So, I mean, you can get it on YouTube. You can get it anywhere. And he names Pastor Frank here, Pastor Frank Amedia, by name. And the thing is if you're a prophet, you're a prophet. It doesn't matter. Keep on. We're okay. It doesn't matter. We're not. You know, it's no thing.
New physics and the theory of new physics is saying that this is more possible than they thought before. And 40 years ago, when I was attending the university and studying theoretic physics, they're saying time travel would never happen, et cetera, and all this other stuff. And now they're looking at string theory, and they're realizing that time is not a straight line.
No.
Time is a grid,
it's not.
And every point on that grid is totally accessible. The future is going on right now somewhere in one of the dimensions, and the past is also simultaneously occurring, and we're just at a particular point in the timeline of our life. But all time is out there, and they have gotten other things they've seen in physics where we are linked to the entire universe, and the speed of light is not the limitation. And they have I'm trying to remember the actual term they use. Darn it. What happens is we're all linked, and all energy in the universe is linked. And they have done this in accelerators where they've taken two particles in an accelerator, shot them in an opposite direction from each other at near the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And if they change the charge on one, the charge on the opposite one going the opposite direction changes also. They are inextricably linked forever. And we're finding that that kind of energy, and we're all made up of the same type of molecular structure and energy, that we may all be linked. And there may be a common knowledge in the universe. And they do find
absolutely.
Data does survive all types of destruction.
there was a song in Earth, the thing in the Earth, Wind & Fire song that says, sounds never dissipate. They only recreate in another place. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And the thing is we're down here as we are, and we're fighting things out, and we discuss all of these, these things that are going on politically. And that's what we're doing, because we want to try to make this place a better place, for us to live in and do better. And then there's some people that don't want that, and you can't figure out, why wouldn't you want to live in a better place? Why wouldn't you want a place where you do spank your child's behind when they act up? Make them a better child so that they don't go through life robbing and killing.
Hold on. But making a – first, let me say good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Making the world or this country a better place is subjective, because there are some people who don't believe in spanking. They believe in other forms of discipline. So for you to say because you don't believe in spanking, you want this world –
Well, correcting your child is what I'm saying. You know, whether you spank them.
I mean, but what I'm saying is subjective, because some people want a world to where how they have in their mind how the world should be, and others have in their mind how the world should be. So you have these, I would say you have four different world views represented in our United States Congress at this moment. So people who have a differing opinion or different ideal of how they want to live life or how they want this country ran, you're going to never have an agreement, a consensus agreeing on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really say, well, those are bad people just because they disagree with how
I'm saying this people like this. I know people that teach their kids to go in the stores and steal at 3 and 4 years old. I know people that teach their kids how to cut dope, put it in bags and sell it. So when I say that, I'm saying I understand that somebody might give somebody a timeout and somebody might, grab somebody by the hand and holler at them, and somebody might use a belt or a switch to discipline their child, but they're disciplining their child. But when you don't discipline your child and you teach them destructive things is where I'm talking about. They had a guy that just went to jail yesterday that he fathered four children with his own daughter. Now, how do you fix your mind to do that?
Well, some people a parent, some people can teach and raise their children to be good citizens in society, and they still go wrong. So some people depraved.
Well, I mean, but if you have somebody teaching you to be depraved, though, that's one thing. Because I know some people, they have children, and they raise their children well, that we know, we weren't on the inside, but they wasn't well. But when they got old, they went crazy. And they got out in the street and started doing crazy stuff, brought danger even upon the parents or the grandparents or the other family members' houses.
And I know some people who sat there, sold drugs around their kids, cut up dope around their kids. I mean, just teaching their just bad habits, drinking around their kids, just bad habits. And their kids turned out, went off to college, turned out to be outstanding citizens.
Well, one of the guys in the chat room said, "How did you wake up this early in the morning, Diva?" Tell him, I ain't gonna let you go out like that.
I didn't even really get any sleep. I'm watching my sister's kids. They stayed over last night, and the two youngest ones slept with me, and man.
Oh, you didn't sleep because they all wiggle around. Kids wiggle.
Yeah.
That's all it is to it. Yeah, I spent my years doing that one. I spent my years. I'm done with that part.
I've never really let my daughter at this age sleep with me. I've never really let her sleep with me because I don't believe in that codependency parenting thing. But somehow they conned me into letting them sleep with me. And I said, I must be getting old. I'm getting
Yeah, well,
in.
Just be grateful you're not Charles Manson's mother, and Charlie wants to sleep with you.
Ooh.
Yeah, think about it. Think of how his parents must feel.
Oh. I wonder
Adolf
what,
Hitler's parents.
What that dynamic was. I wonder what that dynamic was. I really would like to know.
Whether
It
was not a June Cleaver, Ward Cleaver childhood. I'll trust that.
I believe that. Yeah.
I know a good family, mother and father, raised their children according to their faith. Good people. I've heard a number of good things about these people. One of their sons, or on two of their kids, have just lost their mind. One is gay, and the other served prison time for molesting his own kids.
Mm. That's crazy. See, that's what
crazy.
I was just saying. That is a thing. And this one is for you, Diva, and anybody else that believes in the Bible. Check out Fred Price Jr.'s teaching on folly that he's doing right now. It's an excellent teaching. And he really gets into explaining all of that stuff and where it came from. So if you get a chance to check it out, check it out. But
it's folly.
On folly, yeah. Folly.
Okay.
Yeah, it is awesome. I mean, absolutely awesome, and it explains a whole lot of stuff. But anyway, we're talking about this, you know, a number of things, and whatever you guys want to talk about, I don't care today. We're trying to hang in there because it's cold outside, and I'm not. I don't have any coffee. I don't even have any tea in here. I'd have some water though, so I'm good. And we just have a nation that's running amok in everybody wanting to have all of their way all of the time. And I'm pragmatic about stuff. Let me put it like this. No, I don't believe in gay marriage, but would I deny them having a civil union contract or whatever they call it? No. We're in a secular society. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But here's the other caveat. You're not going to make me call it normal, because even by nature, it doesn't fit to be normal. I'm sorry. You can't produce anything. Only a man and a woman can produce something. All you can do is gratify each other.
Yeah.
Gratification.
True.
That's it. There's nothing more.
See, this is what I didn't understand about my liberal left Christian friends, because I get into this argument with them all
There's
the
no
time.
There's no such thing.
Whatever.
There's no such thing. Go ahead. Go ahead, talk to me.
I just don't understand. They're stuck in their emotions about it. Well, because I might sin, I don't want to call out anyone else's sin. And I tell them all the time, hey, if I sin, I'm going to call out my sin, and I'm going to call out everybody else's sin, but I'm not going to sit up there and say it's not sin because I don't want that light shined on me or because I'm feeling some type of way. I was just sitting there on Facebook last week, and I was just having this back and forth with a friend in particular, and I think you and I may be mutual friends, and I couldn't wrap my head around it, because this is a person who grew up in church, whose father was a pastor, and I'm like, that's probably the reason why, because, you know.
Lots of times.
I was like, okay, so you're coming out of not the Word of God. You're coming out of your own feelings. You're coming out of something you dealt with in the past, and you're trying to put it on the Word of God and try to take from the Word of God and try to justify what you're doing, what other people are doing, just because, one, you don't want any type of conflict, or you felt some type of way being raised in a strict religious household, and you think that that restriction shouldn't apply to anyone else. But if you, and like I told him, I said, look, I'm not going to pretend that I made no more than you, because I haven't been in this long enough. I haven't been on this walk long enough, longer than you. But you can't sit here and tell me that homosexuality is from God. I don't care that the two people each other. Love is from God, yes. But as we are all created in his image, those emotions that we express come from him, love, peace, all that comes from him. But to say that because they love each other, that they're what they're doing is not a sin, I don't get that. I can't
go
along
with that. Yeah, well, that's why I tell you, there's no such thing as a far-left Christian person because they can't possibly.
I didn't say far-left, I said liberal. But y'all anybody who aligns themselves Democratic, y'all.
Well, forget Democrat, because some people aren't anything, and they believe crazy stuff. There's no such thing as that. That's just like saying spinal bifida was of God to me. You know, cancer is from God. And it's not. It's not how it got here. It got here because of disobedience to God. And it's just like getting AIDS. Okay? Sin is just like getting AIDS. There has to be a cure for it. And that's what we don't understand. There's a cure. There's something you can do about it if you want to do something about it. But, see, they fooled themselves into thinking that, well, this is right because my feelings feel it. So if my feelings feel it, it has to be right. Well, no, that's not so. Because some people have feelings to go out here and commit mass murder. Is that right because they have feelings to commit mass murder? No. Now, you're not harming a whole lot of stuff but yourself right now. But, you know, but you are harming yourself.
I guess I just have a hard time. I have a hard time with it because I know when I came into my full relationship with Christ, it was life-changing. And it was because of that relationship is why I have complete faith and trust in the Word. When I'm reading it, I believe it to be true. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I may still have some questions about some things, but when I... Because you made this point before, and I practically tried to eviscerate you on Facebook when you made the point, which I already apologized to you for, about so-called Christians on the left. I wasn't seeing it, and I guess that was, you know, that was the Holy Spirit checking me, because after we had that argument, I seen exactly what you were talking about.
It happens. I mean, it's no thing. Here it is. When you get into you know a thing, and I started the thing out for those that want to know, there's a difference between Christianity and churchianity. If you go to church, you're going to do church things, and that's going to be nice and fine, but that doesn't make you a Christian, and it doesn't make you believe in Christianity. It just says you go to church. But if you're a Christian, there's certain things that are going to follow. And you can always tell who somebody is by how they act. I didn't say that they couldn't do anything wrong, but how they habitually act. Are they a good person, a bad person, in between, and do they show you a certain way in life? There's lots of ways to love somebody, and one of the best things is how to tell them the truth.
For me, it wasn't how they acted. It was the words that were coming out their mouth on their Facebook pages.
Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
I believe this. I was like, okay, these are people who say, I'm like, how could you know Jesus Christ if you don't believe in his word, if you don't believe in a word? You know nothing about Jesus Christ other than what the word says. So how can you believe some? How can you have a problem with some? It makes no sense. Either you're going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. It makes no sense that you believe the parts that you agree with and then the parts you don't that you disagree with, you don't want to have nothing to do with it. It's one book.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the scriptures brought together in one place to make it easier for us to learn. So I was just shocked. My mind is still boggled. I'm new to this work.
Don't be.
I figured everyone, once you commit to that relationship with Christ, see how it happened for me, I had a road on Damascus moment. I had one of them Saul, Paul changing moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I everybody's was like that. And I'm starting to learn not everybody's like that. You know, some people for whatever reason, call themselves Christians, want to call themselves Christians, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in him as the cornerstone. They don't believe him as the Messiah. They don't believe him as God. Down on the cross, rose from the grave.
This is true.
So,
This is true. So that's why I say there's people that go to church, and then there's people, you know, and there's churchianity, and then there's Christians who believe in Christ, and they act like Christians. They practice Christianity.
But does that make you mad? Because that makes me mad.
No, what makes me mad is when they insist on calling something. This is what incenses me. When you take God's word and you lie and twist it to fit what you want it to say. They got mad at the Duck Dynasty guy for no reason. Now, he didn't do anything but say what the Bible says, and that's what he believes. So, well, that's what he believes. Why is that anything to you?
It was that situation that opened my eyes, because a lot of my so-called fellow Democrats who are call themselves Christians started calling him a bigot. And I felt some type of way, because I'm like, well, I feel the same way. Are you calling me a bigot? No,
the man
wasn't
a bigot.
I feel the same as he does.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on the other side. We're going to bring a little bit of Duck Dynasty up on the other side of this top of the hour news, which is coming up right now. And because the man didn't say anything that was racist or bigoted or anything. He said what his experience was. But we'll talk about it on the other side. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
Listen to Tracy
every
weekday.
Diva.
Yes, Not So Blind Mike. Morning.
Hey, good morning. So are you a morning person?
Not really, no.
Oh, because you sound really like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to go.
No, only because of the Tracy Winbush show is on in the mornings. I am not normally.
Yeah, I've got to get back to work here in a little bit. I've got, you know, this is the absolute worst time of the day for me to be involved in something like this, but I just had to say hello.
Hello. Wow. I'm hoping everyone comes back.
Well,
this
some people are here. I heard
me.
South Carolina earlier. I didn't hear Beasley or, you know, I heard Alex.
Because Beasley would have to be up. It's only 8 o'clock where he's at.
Yeah.
But when they came on at 12, most people would be taking their lunch break.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Diva, there's
not
a passage
working.
In the
hoping.
Bible. Honey, with regards to what happened to you with your friends on Facebook, we all know the scripture, and everybody's heard it as a cliche if they didn't hear it as scripture, about the admonishment about casting your pearls before swine. And,
yeah.
But nobody reads the second line to that, okay? And you know, if you understand the definition of the word, the original meaning of the word casting, meaning to throw out or throw down. That's because when merchants used to show their wares in the ancient days, they would literally throw a cloth on the ground, and then they would just cast their wares onto it. So they would show their pearls by spreading them out, like you'd roll dice, so that they'd all roll out on the cloth, and they were all visible, and people could see them. And that's how they showed things, and it was called casting. And which is the same root of the word, like we get the word broadcast, exactly, send out, put out, throw out, okay? And
okay.
So it says, don't cast your pearls before swine, meaning like it does you no good to show your valuables or your wares to pigs, okay? And everybody knows that part. What they don't know is the next sentence, and that's what I'd like to share with you right now. Do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn on you. And that's the part nobody knows. They turn on you, Adiva. You try to share your wisdom, your insights, your new knowledge, your new feelings, whatever, and people turn on you for it. And that's what you're experiencing.
Yeah, and that's what I'm like, you know, But it just breaks my heart because
it hurts. It hurts.
I'm like, you're a believer. And as a believer, you have a responsibility to give the word in its in all its truth and honesty, not this.
And even if you weren't a believer, it still hurts when you think you have found something of value that you go to share with your friends that you think they would benefit by knowing, and they turn on you for that belief or that information. It hurts.
Non-believers don't really bother me. Because I understand some people, because, you know, some people are just not going to believe.
Yeah.
Some people, God closed some people's ears and their eyes. And
yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
But believers hurt me more because I know how it feels to be in a relationship with Christ. And I want my relationship, as good as my relationship is, I feel like I have the perfect relationship. Like, my marriage to Christ is perfect.
Yeah.
Can't no one tell me anything bad about it. So, you know, it's just like a secular relationship. If you have a good relationship and you see your friends struggling in their relationship, you want to give them advice and try to help them get that thing on track. That's how I feel when it comes to Christ. And to be scorned, that's why I was telling Jeff, I was like, Jeff, I feel like I don't have a home in the Democrat Party anymore. Because I'm seeing now how they're taking advantage of our vote. I still agree with their ideals. I still agree with the principles. But I feel like now they are taking advantage of our vote. They no longer feel they have to work for it anymore.
But you see, nobody, Republican nor Democrat, ever really had principles. Because they've totally changed. If you go back and read the platforms of the Republican and Democratic Party 40 years ago, they've totally reversed. They're
oh, yes, I would have definitely probably been a Republican.
And what you really have in your heart is your decency, that you really do care for other people. And as you said, the only debate then left is how best to affect the good. People get hung up on accusing other people that you don't want good. No, that's not true. It's just that we're debating how to do it so that we really truly do good, because all through the good book there's all kinds of stuff. And one of the issues that they really hammer home in the good book is stewardship. And that's what the debate is about, how to affect this change and still be a good steward. And there are some people who are not spiritual enough, and I won't say religious, I'll just say spiritual enough, that they're not looking to the greater good, they're looking to their own self-serving needs. And they're not following any kind of principles that history has proven work or don't work, you know. If you take the Ten Commandments and read them very carefully, you can totally throw them out. You don't need them if you understand the concept of stewardship. Because when you read the Ten Commandments, all they could do is definitely define two conditions of stewardship. First principle is greatly appreciate the gifts that you have been given by God, your creator, and do your best to manage those gifts. Condition is don't deny other people the ability to prosper from the gifts they've been given by God.
But did not Christ say, love your neighbor, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, and that was the greatest commandment? Because
sure, it is. And that's
because
that covers all the others. Yeah, who gave you your neighbor?
Creator.
Yeah. It's
good afternoon with Tracy and Friends here. Jeff in the air chair. Good afternoon, this early morning with Tracy and Friends here. And we're talking about whatever's on your mind. Give me a call here at 330-781-9600. And I'd like to talk to you about what's on your mind, or at 1-347-945-5229. And I have a new caller up right now, 438. You are in the air.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you, man. Blessed and prosperous.
You too.
Thank you.
Anyways, I'm listening to what Diva's saying. I'm sorry, Diva. It's like A lot of Christians are doing what you just said. A lot of people don't believe everything in the book, and they pick and choose. And I'm so happy that finally you said it. A lot of people are like that. I mean, a lot of people say, nope, this one is not mine, doesn't represent me. So that tells me, as a person that used to be a Christian that doesn't believe me, how can I, used to be a believer, say to you guys, you don't even know, you guys, how to get it on. One Christian will tell me this is the way of the Bible, another Christian will say, no, that's not the way of the Bible.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. That's okay, no, Stanley, because you know what?
If you would read the word for yourself and have your own understanding, then you will know that when someone picks and chooses like that, they're off in their spirit. You do not have a relationship with Christ based on someone else's relationship or what someone else is doing. That's not what the word says. I can look at all these other Christians. Man, I'd be so hurt if I based my relationship on Christ based on what I'm seeing what other people are doing.
But even
within the church that I'm at, if I did that, I would be so hurt, I would just walk away.
But Diva,
that's
perfect
not my
example.
Relationship. My relationship
but
is not
Diva.
Based on other people. My relationship is based on my own. And what
I know, but
I
Diva, that's what you believe. But Diva, if we take the pastor, who is ultimately the guy who basically read the Bible and tells it how it is to the
no,
to
that's
people
not so.
And everything. No, but a lot of people, I don't believe it, but a lot of people do believe it, and they'll follow what the pastor said. If the pastor said it's blue and even if the Bible said it's gray, they'll follow what the pastor said.
But guess what? Hold on. We're not going to get into just talking about just the Bible here, because we're going to get into Duck Dynasty, too, and what this guy could have possibly said to get all these people in a tizzy, but here's the thing. The pastor is not the ultimate end-all to be-all in the body, because you're supposed to have what's called a five-fold ministry: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And so, therefore, you have to understand that there is in God, there's a balance. Now, we do have, because of the Catholic Church upbringing in America, we have a lot of pastor personality-driven churches. Well, that's why you have error a lot of times, is because you have one guy interpreting all the time without the help of the whole fivefold. And so the different giftings don't get a chance to tell the truth. Well, that's just what it is. That's going over a lot of people's heads. So we're not gonna dwell on that. But what Diva was telling you is the truth. You can't, because somebody else did it wrong, you can't say everybody's wrong because somebody else did it wrong. They call themselves a Christian. Because then, what's your nationality, Stanley?
Haitian.
Okay, now, all Haitians, you know, we can't say that all Haitians are atheists.
No.
Now, can we? Because of our experience with Stanley. So that would be error. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to say here, is you don't want error to be part of your thing. You have to look into this for yourself and study it. And you have to study it from a point of view of not just reading straight out the thing. You got to get references. You have to look at original languages. You have to get understandings, because I still go through, and I thought it would be easier by now. People think that thou shalt not kill means you shouldn't kill anything. And that's not what it said, because how could God tell you don't kill, and then a couple books later he's telling Moses and them to go into a village and wipe everybody out in the village?
Exactly. And that's a,
well.
That's a,
well, see, that's because thou shalt not kill doesn't mean thou shalt not kill. It means thou shalt not murder, and that means kill innocent life. And so therefore, you have to understand that. Then you can go on to the next thing, and as you get more and more truth, you start seeing the truth of the Bible coming through.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Jeff, you are very knowledgeable on the Bible and a lot of things that a lot of people. You are very knowledgeable. Like when I tested you and I asked you how was the New Testament done, and you tell the truth. How many pastors and how many Christians even know the truth on that part?
Well, that's my point. That's my
even
point.
Even Diva doesn't know that. When I told her that, I said, do you know the Bible was done? People talked about it mouth to mouth. And she debated on me and said, no, it wasn't true.
No, I did not. No.
You debated on me. And I said, I was
wait
not
a minute.
Telling the
no,
truth.
No,
you
that's,
did.
But that's not totally true, what you just said. Now, the New Testament. See,
the
here's
New
the
Testament,
thing.
Not the, sorry, the New
listen,
Testament, not the Old Testament. New Testament.
Okay.
Was done
New
that
Testament.
Way.
There were a group of people, and you better believe that Jesus' people mimicked these people because they were Jews. They were called the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes, their job was to write down everything that was written and all scripture, period. Everything that was written, every story that was told, the scribes had it and they wrote it and they wrote those things down and they saved those things. The early church, when they got scattered, people tried to find all the things that those scribes had written and destroy them, but they couldn't destroy them all. Even to now, today we have the Book of Enoch that the thing of Nicaea did not allow in, and the Book of Jasher. They didn't allow those books in. If you allow the Book of Enoch and Jasher in, I'll guarantee, Stanley, I'd have you being a believer. Because I could explain to you why some things are a certain way through those books. Because even though the Bible refers to those books were not kept in the Bible at the Nicaea thing of 300, I believe it was. They threw those books out. And they explained the whole thing. Go ahead.
So it's not just a bunch of people getting around telling fairy tales, and then one man was told a story and he decided to put it into a book what we know as the Bible. That's what I don't agree with. That's what I
No, Diva, when I came up to you and you said, do your research on history. You said, what do you mean, do your research?
How do you,
you don't even know. Let me just make a point. You don't know the history of the New Testament. You don't know the canon. You don't know what he just said about the books, some books that was not done about. You do not know that, Diva. I've asked you the question, do you know the history of the New Testament?
Not,
and you said,
Hold on, Diva, you don't.
And the first acknowledgement, I didn't even know those things. The first acknowledgement is it's not to say I do know when you don't. I've asked you those questions.
Not so blind, Mike.
No,
go ahead.
I have no problem with what Jeff telling me. He's telling me things. The book. There's certain book that I need to read, and I'm sure that they're saying he has more knowledge than. But when Diva, when we come to you, when you say I'm not going to question my faith for anything in the world, and somebody who's not a believer tells you you don't know that part of history, you fight.
Stanley,
okay,
we always
go
down the same argument with you all the time on every.
No,
topic.
I didn't have
you,
the same
hold
argument.
Hold on, Stanley.
Because,
Stanley.
Stanley, you just
because
did it again.
Let me tell you the difference between me and Diva.
I'm
not
your
dog. There you go, Stanley. Stanley, you do the same thing on every topic.
No, I don't.
You keep
because
looking for perfection in other people. Look for it in yourself.
No, I know. I'm not looking for perfection in other people.
And stop beating people up for their beliefs. Stop beating people up who don't believe the way. You're the one who's beating everybody up all the time. You keep demanding perfection from other people. Work
no,
on the
no.
wisdom
I'm not,
of having
I'm not demanding
yourself
perfection
and resting that knowledge that you're okay.
I'm not demanding perfection for other people.
You
I have
are.
No problem with
we
this.
Have to
wait,
read
wait
the
up,
books
wait
you
up.
Read
I
unless
have
we
no
read what you
problem.
Read.
All
we
right,
we're going to
shut this down.
Things.
See, you guys are arguing about you. Listen, Stan, it's okay, and this is how we're going to deal with this, because we're not. I don't want to get into the semantics and apologetics. I do have extensive study of the Bible. More so than a lot of people, not as much as a whole lot of other people. So I put myself probably somewhere in the middle of the road as far as what I know, but I do have the sense enough to understand what the basic history was when you look at how the churches were started, how the different religions were started. Now, so we're going to leave that, saying all of that, the Bible as it stands is the Christian's basic guidebook. It's the owner's manual of man in our eyes. Okay? So we think that since everything comes with the owner's manual, The Bible is our owner's manual because God put this down here to teach us how to take care of ourselves and take care of the earth as well, because we have all these, you know, the global warming people and all this other stuff, and they're all concerned and they get their tail in a tizzy, you know, about things going on here, that's another, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and so, you know, we're dealing with, you know, a lot of different things. But here's what you don't need to do. Now, I don't agree with certain lifestyles, as we've talked about. But you don't see me riding a broom down the street trying to sweep homosexuals off the street, or you don't see me trying to run people that have gotten abortions over with my car in the middle of the street and stuff like that. You don't see Sutton Perry Harris, whatever her name is. I just can't get. I don't know who she is.
Melissa Perry.
Yeah, but I don't know who. Yeah, Melissa Perry Harris. Who she
Harris.
Is? That she, it's crazy what she's doing. Here it is. She dogs Mitt Romney for adopting a black child in their family. Not him himself, but his a grandson. And then she herself was adopted and raised by a white Mormon couple. Now, how do you fix yourself to even dog on that level unless you're being paid to do it?
Oh, see, you were doing so good up until now.
That's because it's the truth.
Because the segment wasn't about her dogging Mitt Romney's grandchild. She showed a picture. She had a panel on there. And it was the panel of comedians who were making jokes, you know, distasteful jokes about the situation. And she felt that she needed to apologize for that situation, even though she didn't say anything distasteful.
But she should have stood up and told the other people on the panel her own story and said, I don't appreciate that because it's my life too. At some point, you have to, you know, one thing about Stanley, he has his beliefs, okay? Though they may differ from ours, he believes them, and nobody doubts it for a minute. He stands on what he believes. So does Jeff. So do you, Diva, okay? That's to be admired. She should have spoken out at that point and corrected her people. It's nothing wrong with disciplining your guests if they screw up. And the comedians are, a lot of them take a lot of cheap shots. Like, one person I can't stand is Bill Maher. Okay?
Oh, my God.
And not because
because
he's cruel. For the same reason I don't like Joan Rivers.
Absolutely. Wait. Finish that out, because that's exactly my problem with Bill Maher. He is the nastiest.
And he's
most,
cruel. And he's a hypocrite.
Very cruel. And so is Rachel Maddow.
Because
they're both
the
very nasty, cruel people. Yeah.
Right. The progressive movement wants equality and fairness, and that's a true thing, and I think everybody would agree upon that, okay? Bill Maher is a womanizer. He's a total fraud. He's about elitism of the world of Bill Maher. In his private life, he's anything but living any
progressive. Well, no, he'll tell you he's the biggest jerk on the planet. He uses a different word, but since we're on radio, I can't use it.
Understand something. If Bill Maher gets in the wrong place and says some of the stuff that he says, it'll be over.
He'll be known as the late, great Bill Maher.
Yeah, because he lost his first show because of some of the stuff that was coming out of his mouth, political correctness or whatever that show was called.
Do you depend on your computer?
There wasn't any political correctness going on at all. It was nastiness and lying that he does.
I know. It was like satire. That the reason why he named it that is because he was being funny. But he lost that show because of some of the stuff he said. And on HBO, he can be free with the stuff they say. I mean, HBO can't discriminate against what comes out of personal mouth and stuff
still
on that channel.
What about
Martin Brashear said? Why is he not working now?
Who?
Martin Brashear.
Oh, because. Well, that was very. I was very shocked that he would say something that he said, and I was.
Why wasn't I?
Here's the whole culture. He read that off
I
the
mean,
teleprompter. Some writer
like,
had to write
hold
that.
Hold on, Diva.
Some writer had to write
hold
that.
Hold on, Diva. Say
some
that again,
Some writer had to write that at some point. He read that off the teleprompter. Some writer had to write that. It's in the whole culture of that network. It's in
no,
the whole culture.
No, he went off script. He even said
he didn't
he
go
went
off script because you think that idiot knew about what he was talking about? No,
Mark
he did
not.
Mark
is not a stupid guy.
I don't
he
care. I didn't say he was stupid. I said he's an idiot. There's
okay,
a difference between stupidity and an idiot. He's an
okay,
idiot.
He probably got that
information. They fed him the information, and he thought that he would go ahead and use it. And he did, and he got his butt fired. Yeah, I know exactly
what
he
said.
I know exactly what he said.
This is not the first time he's gone on a rant or a tangent.
No, it isn't. Because he's an idiot.
But that's why I was shocked. I watched Martin Bashir's show. I like his show. He's never gone to that. Yes, he's never gone to that length.
And why do you think he didn't? And why do you think he went there then?
He was because
he thought
he
could
set up. He thought he could get away with it.
He wasn't fed up with nothing. He wasn't fed up with nothing. They're scared to death of Sarah Palin. They're scared to death that she's going to convince somebody because she's a decent person, and they are not.
And I'm passionate about my disliking someone. I'm afraid of that person. No, we on the left just
no. They don't dislike her. They're scared to death of her.
We don't like her.
Because
we don't like her.
That they may hear the truth.
And I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of any truth that comes out of her mouth. I don't think she has it in her.
Who is the female?
I don't like the woman. I didn't like how she acted on the. I didn't like the divisiveness.
Hold on, Diva. Diva, you've been talking. Hold on. Let the private caller lady come in and do her thing. Come on, sweetheart.
Yeah, all I'm saying is most people, whether you like or respect Sarah Palin or not, there are things that are true. And whether somebody disputes that, facts are facts. They're absolute truths. And I know that now we live in a day and age where people try to get away from that. And that goes back to what you all were stating regarding the Bible. When you think about, we have pastors that do not teach the true word of God. And this is so interesting because, Jeffrey, you and I, we were just getting some historical facts about prophecies, for example, from years ago, like the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, and you all can look up some of the prophecies, but I'm just going to tell you this here. There were five major things that he said, and I think that we're seeing this manifested today regarding the church, because he said he gave a prophecy stating that churches will preach heaven without hell. Now, how many churches do we see that are doing that now? Churches will preach salvation without repentance. Churches will preach salvation without regeneration. And there will be religion without the Holy Spirit. And there will be Christianity without Christ. And have you noticed, in line what you all were talking about earlier, the Duck Dynasty and everything, if you saw some of the pundits and things on television, did you see some of them that were trying to tell us what the Word of God stated? And they were saying that this man misinterpreted the word. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how far removed are we from the truth? But when you're removed from the truth, you can tell a lie and repeat it, and people go all sorts of wild, crazy ways. Have you noticed that the progressive has been telling us that the Bible teaches social justice? Pay attention to that on TV. Have you heard that? I'm not the only one that has heard that. Am I?
That's straight out of liberation theology. I mean, straight up and down. That's exactly what they teach.
But you got to understand, that's their belief. That's the belief of a lot of Christian, a lot of people who are Democrats.
That's their belief.
And I'm sorry to say, I'm still going to come back as a non-atheist.
I'm
looking at all of you as a person that's in the middle and saying you're maybe all false. You're all coming with different ways of saying the Bible. You're all coming in. I take a text, any text of the Bible, and I'll have 10 versions of the same text of what he means.
No, you won't, Stanley. No, you won't, Stanley.
Yes, I will. That's why we
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. Go ahead, female caller.
something that
Go
he
ahead.
Just stated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Stanley is saying, okay, everybody has interpretations and misinterpretations. That is true that happens. But we need to find out what is the truth. Because just because somebody misinterpreted something doesn't mean that what their misinterpretation is true. That doesn't stand. I'm just saying if you know that what's happening, and then when people, unfortunately, we have these people that are on television, the media, they're throwing that at us day to day, the homosexuality, they're throwing it at us, forcing it. When you remove yourselves far apart from God, there's terrible things that can happen. I mean, how many of us knew that Karl Marx was actually the son of rabbis? My God, is that not an indicator of what happens when you are apart from God? So think about that. Yes, there are several people that are telling us misinterpretations, but that's why you have to search and find out what is true. The Bible even tells us that you need to have an answer for what you believe. You cannot use this foolishness about that social justice and think that that's going to get you into heaven or let somebody convince you that that's going to get you into heaven. Because you have to deal with God. You have to answer God. And you have to answer for what you believe. And you should live your life accordingly. If you say that you're a Christian, then you need to be walking after Christ. Walking after Christ is not living a hellish lie. So I just wanted to throw that at you.
And the things that
first
the things
say,
that we're
amen.
Saying.
Amen.
Absolutely. But here's the bottom line, and what I would say to anybody that's out here listening right at this moment. You can try your best to change what the Bible says, but you cannot. It is very clear, it is very in stone, and it is very accurate as far as what it says. It's very clear. It's no ifs, ands, and buts. And there's no place in the Bible that contradicts another.
Oh, I challenge that, Jeff.
Well, you can challenge it, but we'll talk, okay,
there's
we'll
many
talk about
contradictions.
There's
many contradictions.
There's no contradictions because what you don't have is here. You have one word, love, okay, in the Bible. Tell me what it means.
Well, that depends on every person's definition. Love for me is not the same definition for you. Yeah.
Oh, no, in English you only have one word for love. But in Hebrew you have four.
That's true.
Or Greek, excuse me. So here's the thing. You have to know which one it's talking about, whether it's a brotherly love, whether it's a familial love, whether it's the love of God to man and what that means, or whether it's a man-woman love.
Mm-hmm.
There's those four different. You don't know them. It's because you don't know that there's four different. You're interpreting something to be something that is not true. And so, therefore, English was not the best language to bring the Bible into for and interpret. King James did a very good job of getting it done, but he also added himself in quite a few places.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So you have to find out where did he get in and do his stuff at, and then you have to reinterpret that in original languages so you know what the thing said. And there's not one place. Local caller, you're in the air.
Hi, Jeff. It's Dee.
Hey, Dee.
God bless you in this new year. You know, who was the very first one that wanted to dispute the word of God and did it in a crafty way? Satan.
Always.
I was going to say Lucifer, right?
Lucifer, Satan, the serpent. But when you think about that, he's the one who, you know, wrote the playbook for those who take the word of God and twist it and pervert it and make confusion where there is none. You know, he told Eve, you know, surely you're allowed to look at it, surely allowed you to touch it, you know, and maybe, you know, taste it. You know, after all, is tasting really eating? You know, I mean, he's the one who put that confusion in clearly what God had said. And you figure man has done that to suit his purposes, because Satan is, Lucifer, is behind every attempt to confuse man and to, you know, to ruin that relationship that man would have with Christ, with, you know, the Father God, with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you see it today. You see people that are coming up with different translations of the Bible. You've got feminists who call, you know, mother, you know, in place of father. You have now gay groups that are going to rewrite and have a gay version of the Bible where they'll talk about
partnerships
between, you know, the same sex, so that it doesn't say, and a husband shall be, you know, a husband shall take his wife. I don't know how they'll
figure it out.
But I
don't know how they're going to figure out. How can they get through Galatians and Romans when it talks specifically about homosexuality? I don't know.
They'll write that out.
That's it. They're going to talk just about God being a God of love, and that, you know, it is his desire that we find love on this earth. I mean, they'll do whatever. But every group can take that Bible. Drug addicts could take the Bible and write a version. You know, alcoholics could take the Bible and write a version. Anybody can do that to justify their own sin. And I think, you know, it's beautiful if you, you know, go back and read, and I would encourage Stanley to look in Matthew. After Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, he went out to fast and pray, and Satan came to him to deceive him and used the word of God to tempt him to, you know, worship me.
Yep, he did.
Yeah, worship me, and I'll give you, you know, we can turn the, you know, you can turn these stones into bread. I know you're, you know, you're fasting here.
He offered him the kingdom that he had charge of.
And say, you know, I will be fed, you know, on the word of God. You know, I don't need tangible food. And then, you know, he took him up to a top of a tower and told him, you know, throw yourself down from here because the scripture tells you that, you know, you'll be protected. Christ said, you're not to tempt the Lord. You know, you're not to do something you know can be, you know, deadly and dangerous. You know, it's beautiful when you look at that because you think everything in the Bible gives us a help when we're faced with those types of trials and struggles. We have an answer there. And
but,
I was going to say, it even says in the Bible, and I'm not sure where, that you're to call no man father. And you figure in a lot of the churches, I think that people are misguided because they look to the pastor, priest, as a father figure to tell them how to live.
That's deep, too. You said that.
Right. And you, the only one that is our father is Father God. He is supposed to be the ultimate source of our knowledge.
Okay, we're getting boggled down into Bible right here, and I don't want to get there. We're gonna if we do it, we're gonna have to use it while we're explaining ourselves through what everybody went crazy about with the Duck Dynasty Phil guy when he said what he said about homosexuality.
Well, I think the beautiful thing is in this country, you're free to, you know, to share with people what you believe and you know, the source of that.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to believe your belief out loud if the gay people say whatever. And then he made a point about black people that they didn't say anything about his point. They said nothing about his point.
They tried to change things and say that he said that it was better. Something about the Jim Crow laws. But when I heard or read what was supposed to have been actually stated, I think he made a statement that when he lived at a certain time, when certain things were a certain way, and even he's in the backwoods of Louisiana, he was saying that it appeared to him that people of color were better off then than they are now. And that was an
option.
Okay, that's
what he said. What he said was,
when he was back then, from his perspective, he
right.
was talking about the people that he saw. He
right.
said he,
right.
he never saw anybody complaining or bellyaching about their condition because they all were in the same condition. All the black people that he saw seemed to be happy and glad.
Mm-hmm.
That's from his perspective and his perspective alone, from what he saw during that era. And that is very possible because
right.
things are different. Things are quite different back in them backwoods. If you're not from there, you know, you're not too welcome sometimes.
Right.
Well, but he was. He said I was right there right alongside them because we were white trash. And we were considered, you know, only to be able to be in that particular state, too. 314, you're in the air as well. Pianchi, I think that's you. But about what he said those were good people. They were godly people. Now they never said anything about that on these newscasts when they were killing him. They never said that. But that's how he finished out that statement. He said they weren't, you know, tripping on this, that, and the other and doing that. They were working hard and they were doing what they had to do. He said they were good people. They were godly people.
So they omitted the positive things.
You know,
make him look bad.
Go ahead, Bianca.
This stuff about, you know, the God of the Bible was made for everybody. He said so in his text. And also women, the man is your head. You just exist from the neck down, according to the Bible.
Not true.
This is a misinterpretation.
It's as clear as...
That ain't true, Bianchi. No way.
It is clear.
I would send my sister after you.
It said 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man.
Okay,
yes.
What context is that in? If
what
you
mean
understand
what context?
Language.
It's about 20 different... It's
no,
about 20
what does he mean by that?
Nope.
There is
it means
that.
One specific thing. Because he prefaces it in the chapters, in the verses before. And that's what I'm talking about by people, they'll lift things and they'll say error that ain't true. There's a
well,
specific
you can't
thing.
Say, you can't say that the Yah of the Old Testament, which came way before Christianity, and it was Christians that called it Old Testament, was a particular God for a particular people. It was not for everybody. And nobody wants to mention
that's
that.
That's not true.
It's,
that's not
it's,
true.
It was a particular guy. From a historical context, it was true, Jeff. Well, let me finish, please. Historically, when Sennacherib was coming upon Jerusalem, the Yah of the Bible was a local guy with no affirmative power whatsoever.
Oh, you can read that.
Yeah. That's historical. Sennacherib was the leader of the Assyrians. The Assyrians' guy was Ashur. And he was a local god of no power whatsoever. He was created by the Yahwehs. Judaism wouldn't come for another 300 years. Christianity wouldn't come until after that. And, of course, we know Islam was the last of the Western religion. And in many places in there, he tells you that I am your God and not to follow the God of other people. So come on now.
Well, he also called them the false gods of the other people.
Well, yeah. They call many religions pagan religions, just like the
that's 'cause they
pagans.
Were.
Just
now,
like they called the. They said that the Black Panther Party was a bunch of pagans. They said
well,
that King and what he was doing was a bunch of pagans.
I don't know anything
and we know
about
who
that.
The
I never
is.
Heard that. I never heard any of that. But here, let's go. We're going to go through the break
sorry,
in about
wait
1 minute.
Minute. They call it a cult. A cult. You're right. Call it a
well,
cult. They call it the Black Panther Party
a
cult. They call the Southern Christian Leadership Conference a cult.
Okay,
they call
that's
King
that's
a communist and so on and so on. And
that's,
they said black
true.
Folks had tails.
But none of that stuff was true, though, Doc, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
My father tells the story that the Germans used to follow him and his friends down the street. Looking and asking him, where is your tail? Oh,
well,
that's true.
I went to a friend of mine's house, a white guy, and his daughter asked, where is his tail? I had a pick in mind. You remember the old picks when we used to wear naturals? She thought that was part of my tail. It was in my pocket and just the handle was sticking out.
We got to go on that one. We get ready to go to break. Afternoon, with Tracy and Friends. We're going to finish up the show after this. Y'all crazy out there.
So this stuff of people calling their God
we can't,
the one
we
and true
go,
God,
we gotta go, man.
That's based on
I'm
their ability.
The lines will be open.
This thing about people calling their God the one and true only God is ambiguous. It shows
exactly.
a bunch of arrogance. And,
exactly.
you know, the reason why you can do that is because we're protected by a supreme law, which is the United States of the Constitution, which permits you to have your belief, but the government can control your behavior on how you go about demonstrating that belief.
And that's the problem, Diva, exactly what he's saying and everything. You see, he's coming with knowledge. Jeff is coming with knowledge. But the question I want to ask you, Diva, with all that knowledge coming, you said, I will never question my faith. So if as a person
–
I just want to ask you the question, and I want you to listen, please. I just want to ask you the question. As a person that you say you will never question your faith, you will never question it. So if I come to you with information, any kind of information that proves you that is right, that does question your faith, you won't even look at it. Because you said, and I quote, I won't question my faith.
Here's the thing. When someone brings you so-called proof of something, it has to have a ring of truth to it. You can't just bring me something and don't have a ring of truth in it. If I read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and what you're saying does not align with what I read, no, I'm not going to question, I'm not going to trust you just because you say I should.
That's true.
No, if I bring you facts, it doesn't have to do with me, but if I bring you facts, you won't even question it.
Facts are subjected to a person's interpretation of what
they
are reading
or seeing. No, fact is a fact. No interpretation
yes,
of a fact. A fact is a fact, Diva. 2 plus 2 is 4.
I'm not arguing with you. You don't have to like the fact that I don't question my faith. That's your hang-up.
You know, here's
mine.
Another point, too.
I don't always say with you being an atheist.
People say that, you're taking these out of context. Well, look at this. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Well, I'm taking that out of context. It may mean husband, kick your wife, but then love them. Me, myself,
exactly.
I do not
need no
God, and I detest a Jesus Christ.
Lord,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
Jesus Christ can go to hell for all I care. My children say that. My grandchildren say that.
Wait a minute. Jesus did go to hell, and he preached to those who were bound, and he rose up from there. So you need to get to know Jesus.
I don't need to get to know Jesus.
Yeah, he
Jesus went to hell. If Jesus
went
to hell, if he was to come back today, he needs to be locked up, indicted.
No.
Are we talking about the same Jesus?
I hope that you know him then. So you'll be able to go
to Jesus. Ma'am, listen. I don't want you to hope that I know Jesus. That's for you. It's not for me. All blacks are not the same. Remember that. Everything that's black is not African, and all blacks are not the same. If you want to die and go to heaven, go ahead. I have no need to go to heaven. Ain't lost a damn thing there.
And the thing, Diva, I would ask you and the other callers and everything, you're talking about same Jesus that basically said that slavery is okay. You're talking about same Jesus that never came. Wait, let me. If Jesus was all great, how come he didn't come in this world and say, you know what, owning another human being is wrong? How come he didn't come with that law and say owning another human being is wrong, period?
Wait a minute.
I'm not calling you a fifth daily thing is, you're going to twist and turn every...
I'm not twisting it. I'm asking you a question.
Another point, the God of the Old Testament never said Jesus was his son. He said that Israel was.
One person at a time. Go ahead.
Beasley.
Good afternoon.
Is Brown out there?
Hey, Beasley.
Wait a minute.
Stanley, what is slavery, though?
You wanted to take that one word, another human being, as property. That's the definition of slavery.
That's the definition of owning.
I had to play just a little bit of that to let you know we're coming back.
Okay.
Mornings with Tracy and Friends. We're here talking to you about lots of different things, and we're bringing our callers back up right now. Everybody wants to get in the act now at the end of the day. I don't know what's wrong with y'all, but y'all need to set your watch for 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock a.m. And I got another unlisted call out there as well that's trying to get in here. So go ahead, unlisted caller. You speak as well. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have much to say. I just tuned in. There's a pretty lively conversation going on.
Yeah, I figured that was you.
Yeah, but I'm not part of the lively conversation.
No,
time.
He wasn't part of it.
He wasn't part of the conversation. It was
not
it
at
was
all.
Alive. May I make a suggestion? I would like to say that okay, Stanley, you wanted to emphasize that Jesus thought it was okay with slavery, or he didn't say what he wanted you to say regarding slavery.
Oh, God.
I would like for you to get the scripture, and maybe another time we can go and break this down, because what I'm seeing is something that happens even in our own language of English. There are, I'm in education, so I know that there are 5 different registers of language. So not everybody understands, how can I say this, communication in a certain respect. So I would like, because Stanley, you know that slavery is also a system, correct?
What do you mean slavery is only also
It is also a system. Not only, but it is a system.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and there are different meanings, and you have to look at in the context of which someone is speaking or how it is used in the Bible. And I'd like to go directly to the scripture that you are talking about so that we can open that up. And I agree with you. I think that, yes, you should challenge the word because that's the only way that you're going to find the truth.
The best way to challenge the best way to challenge slavery is have some guns. That's the most effective way to challenge slavery.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? If you're bound in your mind, you can't even do that.
Nobody. Well, that's
I'm not
the
bound
point.
In
the,
my
the,
mind
slavery
is because go ahead.
Slavery is referred to in the experience of the people. It was referred to an experience as being bound by somebody where you had to work for them at their will. That's it. The words that we use in the English language is the majority of French and Latin, not English.
Precisely, and that's why you don't know what it really meant. It was a
you really don't
was
know
very...
what it means because
right.
The Bible itself is an Eastern book. And so you have to understand what that culture is talking about when it speaks of slaves.
The Bible does say that a slave is a property of another human being. You can do whatever
yes,
you
does.
Want with that person until you don't kill that person.
Okay.
And it's been written in the Old Testament, it has been written that. Until you don't kill that person, you can do whatever you want. So you could beat them. You can do whatever you need to do. And
no,
I'm sorry, that is
that's not true.
My belief.
Yeah.
But God
family,
doesn't say
family.
That.
There is a reference in the Bible where it talks about a slave becoming the permanent property of an individual. Because now in the Old Testament, you had something called the Year of Jubilee, which happened every 7 years, and everything that was held in bondage was released. But in order for a person to become a permanent slave, they had to pierce the ear of their own ear to make themselves enslaved to that individual for life.
It was
it contradicts itself in itself in the Bible. It
no,
just
it
says
doesn't.
Don't.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
yes,
let me, well,
it does
well,
not.
I tell you what, just let me read it. In Colossians 3:22, it says it asks you about is slavery. Is slavery right? No. No, be not called master, break every yoke. That's in Isaiah 58.
Oh,
and
God.
Then it goes on to say,
okay,
yes, you should buy.
Listen, this is why we can't do this.
One thing? That
that's why
Common
Bible
says
that the woman, see, that's not the man's head that's talking.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Yeah, it is the man's head that's talking to me because this is my woman. So you are wrong.
Yeah, this is the gentleman who's kind of vile, and he doesn't – I told him that he knows
Jesus
by the time he returns.
This is the missus?
Yes.
Steph? Oh, wow. Hi. I've never heard on the radio. And I
normally don't get a chance to call.
Oh my
gosh,
I'm just so intrigued as to what woman would be married to Jeff Green. No offense.
you don't know nothing about Jeff Green, Beasley.
You got some power there, bro. Good job.
You better believe it. Oh. You better believe it.
And this man here is Bianchi. Is that who's that?
My birth name is Bianchi. My parents named me after land, history, and culture.
Bianchi.
Yeah, he went and saw Pam last year at that church, but he didn't get to meet her down in St. Louis.
Bianchi. All right.
Yes.
And that comes
ask?
From where, Bianchi? I mean, that's his made-up name, or you're saying that's a birth name?
That's my birth name. That's Cushite. P.A., the historical person. Bianchi.
He's probably one of those ancient Kemetans.
Bianchi, Bankole, Kofi, Nefakara, Nishi.
Okay.
he probably one of
those. Those in the know what the name means.
Go ahead, Stanley.
Did you go see the movie this week? I went to see the movie 12 Years of Slavery. Every black person should go see that movie. Every black person that's Christian or not Christian should go see that movie. Because once you see that movie, if you're not mad and frustrated and hell saying what the hell was happening during that time, I don't know what you have in mind.
Okay, Stanley, listen.
Why?
American slavery morphed into a very nasty, wicked, vile system. It was not Israeli slavery. It was not Children of Israel slavery or Middle Eastern slavery.
How do you know?
Because I'm going to tell you how I know.
Understand that
I can tell you historically what it was, because guess what? There's a book that tells you that a slave has his own family and everything, and the family is not in slavery if the man is just in slavery. It's just the man.
Well,
American
slavery.
Can I
say
this?
What's the name? What's the name of the book? Please show me the name of the book.
I believe it's
and
Leviticus.
By the way, the white person?
Stanley, I don't care nothing
movie?
About the movie. The movie has nothing to do with the Middle East. So what I'm telling you once again, what I'm telling you, slavery in the Middle East was a voluntary system most of the time. That you sold yourself into.
You
cannot agree with
it
if you want to. The Bible,
well,
the historical books of the Bible.
Slavery was not a voluntary system.
I'm going to shut y'all all off. Now, hold on.
Go ahead.
In the Middle East, slaves were slaves by reason of debt.
Right.
Or by reason of selling themselves into slavery, just like you have this one story of a guy named Jacob that sold himself in slavery to his father-in-law because he wanted to marry a girl, one of the daughters, and then he gave him the wrong daughter, and he had to work 7 more years for that one.
7 more years.
So he did 14 years as a slave to his father-in-law. But at the end of those years, he packed up and left. And guess what? He had his own house. He had his own land to live on. He had his own cattle. He had his own everything. It was not American slavery. It had nothing to do with it.
I disagree with you.
America originally had servitude.
Yes, they did.
What you experienced with blacks was child slave. But let me tell you about the movie, 12 Years of Slave. One thing that you should, two things you should get out of
it. We got 3 minutes. Bianchi, we got 3 minutes. We can't do it. We'll go see it and talk about it at a later date. Yeah.
And Jack, when you go see it, see the white person when he talks about the Bible and slavery. When he says, I could own you because the Bible said so.
Listen, I'm going to tell you.
I don't care. Go see the movie. I know you don't care.
Stop,
I know you don't care, but that's a fact. That's a fact.
We're going to pray for Stanley.
Stanley,
12 Years a Slave is that Patsy was producing 512 pounds of cotton a day at $1.89 a pound. That was over $303,000 a year, whereas she only cost $600.
Right.
But Bianchi, he says that he's in the Kemet. The Kemets, they had slaves.
Yes,
right?
They did.
You're
and
absolutely
so you
right. You go to war,
Stanley.
You go to war. If you go to war and you lose, you are a slave.
Wait a minute. It wasn't only war. It's even about failed debts or crimes or sorcery. You said you were in the Kemet.
I don't know about this. I don't know about the sorcery. I don't know about the sorcery.
You,
but if you went to Ursa Maat Re Setepera Ramesh Umeri-Amin, when he waged war against the Hittites, matter of fact, whose Paul's father was a Hittite,
Paul
you know,
who?
He kicked butt.
Paul who?
You're Paul of the Bible. His
he
father was
a Hittite.
Here we go.
His father was a Hittite from Turkey.
Paul was, who told you that
okay.
one?
Okay, that's far-reaching.
That's some of that error that we're talking
that's
about.
Far-reaching.
Paul's father was a Hittite.
Well, we are 90 seconds, Bianchi. We can't do it now, so I want to thank everyone.
Another day, we should all get back together.
No, not now. This conversation.
Local caller.
I'm going to make this quick. I read Proverbs somewhere where it said that slavery was an unforgivable sin. But that's another date and another time.
Yeah, that sure is. Okay, thanks a lot, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, unforgivable sin. That is not so. The only sin that's unforgivable is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Anyway, in Christianity, anyway.
And
but
I blaspheme
we will
the Holy
talk
Ghost
about this
all the time.
Yeah, well, you better stop it, my brother.
I blaspheme the Holy
Michigan
Ghost
man.
All the time.
Hey, I wish you had
the heck
called
with
him.
The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost coming here, I'm going to scare his butt out. I see
no,
y'all later.
Oh, God. Now, if we hear that in the middle of a snowstorm in St. Louis, Bianchi got struck by lightning, we'll know what's up. See you tomorrow. Tracy will be back in here hanging out with you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Deirdre Bryant. A widespread Social Security disability scam in New York City. A number of former public safety workers have been arrested.
Hailed as heroes after 9/11, scores of retired police officers, firefighters, and correction officers are now accused of running a scam off of some of that goodwill. Authorities...